I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening to the Inside Scoop. If you're listening on the archive, check out Bob Kincaid's archive following, because this discussion is continuing right after this.
Many cases. And I have here a couple of quotes of Kissinger recently about the war in Iraq. And he's asked about the situation in Iraq. And let me read you just a couple of quick quotes. He says, "A military victory in the sense of total victory over the whole territory imposed on the entire population is not possible."
Eaton.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have released 12 of the 19 missionaries taken hostage 6 weeks ago. The release comes after a promise from Seoul to withdraw troops and cease missionary activity. The remaining hostages are expected to be released by tomorrow. Radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has suspended actions of his Mahdi army for 6 months and has claimed they will no longer attack U.S. and coalition forces. According to a Sadr aide, the anti-American cleric wants to reorganize the Mahdi army and rehabilitate it after breaking into factions. Coalition forces killed more than 100 Afghani militants today following an attack on a coalition envoy in Kandahar. One Afghan soldier was killed and 6 others wounded. There were no reports of civilian casualties. Also in Afghanistan, a suicide bomber attacked a bridge under construction in an eastern province, killing 3 U.S. soldiers. 6 other American troops were wounded. President Bush is in the Gulf Coast region today, marking the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The president visited a charter school in New Orleans, where he said better days are ahead. He will also visit Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, while in the region. The former Prime Minister of Pakistan said that Pervez Musharraf will step down as head of the military before the next presidential election. Officials say the decision is a significant step forward in a power-sharing deal with Pakistan's opposition government. Greek firefighters announced today that they have gained control over wildfires that have killed 63 people in recent days. The government has been hit with accusations of incompetence for their handling of the situation. After detaining them in a central Baghdad hotel last night, U.S. troops this morning released 8 captive Iranians, turning them over to Iraqi authorities. The U.S. said they were arrested for carrying guns without the necessary permits. The Washington Post reports President Bush is poised to ask Congress for another $50 billion to fund the Iraq War. Congress has thus far allocated $607 billion for the 2008 Pentagon budget. An internal army investigation faults trainers at Fort Hood, Texas, for the June death of an Iraq war veteran during maneuvers. 24 other soldiers were hospitalized during the grueling training exercises. 8 trainers may face criminal charges. In Idaho, a wildfire is roaring toward Sun Valley Ski Resort, fed by high winds and soaring temperatures. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's a major but not unexpected development. The deadly bird flu has mutated so it can be passed on from person to person. The UN has long predicted a devastating international pandemic. Researchers at NOAA are blaming human activity as the biggest reason for record-breaking warm temperatures last year in 48 states. NASA today will release its internal investigation into reports astronauts were intoxicated before launches. Officials say they are optimistic the report will indicate the problem was minor. The College Board says math and reading SAT scores this year were the lowest in 8 years. The board attributes the poor high school senior scores to a more diverse group of test takers. The test was changed 2 years ago. Pharmacy benefits manager Medco will acquire diabetes specialist PolyMedica for $1.2 billion. The deal is expected to increase Medco's diabetic client base by 1 million customers. Share of Dillard's department store chain fell 3.5% after it announced a quarterly loss of more than $25 million. The Arkansas-based company noted a drop in sales. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.55 a barrel. Gold is trading at $674.40 an ounce. Wall Street has rebounded today. The Dow is up 174 points. NASDAQ up 41. S&P 500 up 20. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner.
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Oh, glory, hallelujah, brethren and sistren. I was a little bit off last night because I was off Monday night, so Tuesday felt like Monday. But I know, Lord God Almighty, I know what tonight is. It's a night of silence on the Head On Radio Network.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
That's right, brethren and sistren. Put your hands upon your subwoofers and feel the power flowing through you as we enter into yet another prayer meeting right here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm Benny Hincaid. Okay, that's... That may be a little over the top. But anyway, let's tell you what we're going to do. Let's start the evening with a hymn. How do you like that? Yes, brethren and sistren, we're going to start tonight's prayer meeting with a pair of charming little children with a message that is good for all of us. Good for Paul and Silas, and it's good enough for me. Hey, glory, go!
We hear a lot of talk about the ecumenical movement. They say that we should get together and all be one big family. Catholic, Protestant, and Jew, Buddhist, Muslim, and Hindu. I guess they want the devil too in the ecumenical movement. They always talk about the golden rule and the Sermon on the Mount. But whether you've ever been born again, modern now to talk about the ecumenical movement. The old time way's not good enough, it all must be forgotten. The Virgin's birth, the Trinity, the blood of Christ on Calvary. They've made a better way, you see, through the ecumenical movement. They always
sing
talk
it
about the golden rule and the Sermon on the Mount. But whether you've ever been born again, doesn't even
seem to count. I am on my way to heaven.
My trust is in the Lord and not
the ecumenical movement.
These folks, they always talk about the ecumenical movement. Say we all travel different roads, but they all lead to heaven. But God's word is plainly say Jesus is the only way. So put your trust in him, do they not the ecumenical movement. They always talk about the golden rule.
the people said. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Robin and Crystal.
Oh, the lovely dulcet voice of the brother Jerry Falwell, roasting in hell now. But, you know, the roasting is paying off. Don't know if you saw this or not, but the check was in the mail, and the check has finally come through. All of, well, if you think of debt as a sort of financial world sin, Jerry Falwell got all Jesus-like and died for Thomas Road Baptist Church and died for Jerry Falwell University. That's right, those little old ladies' Social Security checks that he collected for all those years paid off on life insurance policies in the last week to the tune of, you got it, oh glory, brothers and sisters, hallelujah, $34 million. Anybody in the insurance industry out there? Anybody who's ever sold insurance, can get brethren and sisters, can I get a number? I don't want an amen. I want a number. I want to know how much it costs to buy life insurance to the tune of $34 million on a fat, puzzle-gutted, hypocritical, hate-filled, lard-eaten, lard-assed hypocrite like Jerry Falwell. Come on, I mean, I hear the ads on right-wing talk radio, right-wing hate radio. You can buy life insurance now. Term life insurance, you can never be turned down for as little as a dollar a day. How much does it cost to buy life insurance that pays off to the tune of $34 million? Because, you know, the life insurance industry is in it for the money. And I don't know, maybe there's some sort of Bible-believing life insurance company that figured Jerry Falwell would get his butt raptured before he got his butt buried. But, yeah, that story's out today. Jeez. Jerry Falwell's life insurance policies paid off to the tune of $34 million. Thomas Road Baptist Church got $5 million. And Jerry Falwell's Liberty University got $29 million. $29 million. That beeping you hear in the background is the fact that the power has gone off here. It's trying to come back. Not quite. No, this may not be a good sign.
Well, God's just going to have to get past it. And
you know, I guess I need some of that $29 million. No, we paid the power bill.
Working on it.
Okay. Well, so we'll stop there for a moment. Agnes, darling, don't go wandering off, please. It's not, you know. What I need you to do is start us some music, please. And in the interim time that it takes to get the generator started, we will be able to survive on battery backup. But I've got to run away and make it all happen. Okay? So we'll be back. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Brother Bob Kincaid. It is prayer meeting night. Oh, glory, the power's back on. I said prayer meeting night and it came right back. Do Jesus.
Forever and ever, you say in my heart and I will love you forever.
I love how this works. See,
they.
See, that was. What that was that was the power drain in hell going up since I was talking about Falwell. He was screaming a little bit louder as he turned over the spit where that evil old SOB continues to roast. But yeah, Falwell's son. said that Daddy always told me that the church and the university would have a windfall when he passed along. Seriously, I'm not kidding. I would like to know if there's anybody out there that is familiar with the insurance racket. If you need to keep your name anonymous, you can do that. How much would it cost to generate $34 million in life insurance proceeds? Now, see, I'm certainly no business maven. I don't think I'm any kind of maven, really. But insurance is not life insurance is not cheap. But on a business basis, life insurance costs are always tax deductible. Tax deductible, you know, because even though Thomas Road Baptist Church might have been, and all of his Falwell's affiliated sickening organizations were tax exempt, Falwell himself wasn't. Even preachers do have to pay income tax to some degree or another. But if you are buying a bunch of life insurance, that writes off. See, this is a win-win. This goes back, by way of an example, this goes back to Walmart. Several years ago, Walmart got busted, stone cold, caught dead out. What they were doing is somebody would go to work for Walmart. Walmart would take out a term life insurance policy, keep the thing paid, list itself as the beneficiary on the policy, keep the premiums paid, and they had, you know, one little functionary there in Bentonville, Arkansas, whose job was to go through and make sure whenever a Walmart employee died, turn around and collect on the insurance policy, because premiums paid on life insurance are tax deductible, and monies paid out on collection of life insurance are non-taxable. So it was a win-win situation. And something similar was going on here with Jerry Falwell. $34 million in life insurance policies. Say that again and again and again and again. $34 million in life insurance policies. What did the premiums for that run? And who was purchasing the premiums? From the story I read, it appeared that the premiums were being paid by Mr. Falwell himself. Which means that all of those monies that he scammed and finagled and flim-flammed and grifted away from the gullible, the foolish, and the pathetically ignorant, some of that he dodged taxation on by buying life insurance. It's a nice racket. It's good work if you can get it. $29 million to Jerry Falwell U, which had previously been bailed out by the Reverend Sun Myung Moon, and $4 million for Thomas Road Baptist Church. That's going to buy some new pews. Baby, them's some pews. But there are experts of all sorts in this audience. Scientists, people who mess with issues of deep space physics and astrophysics and astrogation and amazing things. Business owners, authors, poets, musicians, photographers. I know somewhere somebody out there knows a little bit about the insurance racket. And I would love to know, just a rough guess. Starting with the ascendancy of Jerry Falwell, you know, he first came to prominence, long about 1978 or so, when he came out hating Jimmy Carter? That's when he really, really began to rise to prominence. Over a period of time like that, and knowing what a profound health risk he was as he became more and more corpulent, how much would it cost to have life insurance totaling $34 million. Now, this isn't the only story tonight. I'm not a one-story kind of guy. I got one of the stupidest United States propaganda stories you may have ever heard. But I wanted to start with this just because, you know, those little old ladies' Social Security checks just keep on paying and paying and paying. And the other reason was, I'm telling you now, there will be no mention of, there will be no phone calls about, I always say you can drive the bus, but every once in a while, I draw a little line in the sand. There will be no mention of, there will be no phone calls about, there will be no continuing coverage of, there will be no stories about Senator Larry Craig. Because whenever I see a story getting running to the level of national prominence that I see the Craig story running to, I know that something is desperately wrong. This is August the 29th, 2007. 2 years ago, we watched the unimaginable happen to the Gulf Coast of the United States of America. 2 years ago, on John McCain's birthday, happy birthday, John! We watched George Bush cut a birthday cake somewhere at a the country club in Arizona. We watched George Bush be given the gift of a guitar and make a screwed up G chord. We heard him say things like, "I don't think anybody at the time could have imagined that the levees wouldn't hold. Damn it, it was a level 5, and they weren't designed for level 3, and nobody could have imagined the living." And of course, you know, we talked a couple of nights ago about the information that has since come out from Greg Palast. Everybody knew, and nobody was talking. 1,600 plus people are dead. And Jerry Falwell's Liberty University is celebrating a $29 million windfall. Tell you what, Liberty University, if there's any Christianity whatsoever inside that dead, ethically, morally, spiritually bankrupt hellhole that is the Thomas Road Baptist Church and is Liberty University, you will take every penny of that $29 million and take it forthwith to the Gulf Coast of the United States of America and do with it what Jesus Christ, what Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter himself would have done with it. Because if you do not, that hell that you believe in will yawn wide open for every one of you. And the devil and his angels will welcome you with little water wings to the lake of fire that burns forever. Because what was done in the wake of Katrina was evil, pure and simple. And what is done now that continues to make Katrina an unending disaster for the Gulf Coast of the United States of America is compound evil. You've heard of compound interest? This is compound evil. This is evil on evil, and the evil grows the evil, and the evil that gets grown grows a little bit more, and a little bit more, and a little bit more, until the people who have neglected the Gulf Coast of the United States of America are awash in evil. 2 years, and there are still hundreds of thousands of Americans. Americans! Americans! Your fellow Americans, my fellow Americans, Americans living in temporary refugee camps along the Gulf Coast. No, Bob, they're trailers. They're refugee camps. If it walks like a duck, and it swims like a duck, and it quacks like a duck, it is a duck. And these are refugee camps. God Almighty. Somehow I just wanted to present the difference between a Christian organization celebrating a windfall of $29 million worth of blood money, conned and finagled and flim-flammed and grifted from the superstitious, from the ignorant, from the weak-minded and the gullible, and the very real ongoing needs of people who neither asked nor deserved the hell that was visited on them. Not visited on them by a natural catastrophe, Katrina, but visited on them by the failure of their fellow Americans as manifested in the government of we, the people of the United States, to come to their aid when they most needed it. They're dancing in the streets in Lynchburg, Virginia. And they're dying in the streets in Biloxi and Pascagoula, in New Orleans. And the dying continues to this day. One story I have suggests that it's become rather a growth industry, going to see where the horrors took place. There are literally tour buses in New Orleans now that for a fixed fee will drive out-of-towners around the city and show them the places where the most gruesome hell transpired. I'm not kidding. I wish to hell I was. CNN reports every day, twice a day, the tourists come. They smile, striking poses on the severed porch just yards from where Robert Greene says Diddy died with his two kids strapped to his chest. They stand on the porch, they stand by the wrought iron railings, they chuckle and they joke amongst themselves, and they take pictures. Well, it reminds me of Bill Frist, former Republican Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, visiting the tsunami area and telling the photographer who was shooting pictures of his visit, "Make sure you get me with some of that devastation in the background." Welcome to Bushmerica in 2007, where the places of agony and death are made tourist attractions. I don't know if we got enough forgiveness down here at the altar to take care of that. Who in the hell takes that bus trip? What is it, $40 or so to take the bus trip? $45? Seems that Diddy thought he could save his two babies from the 20-foot wall of water that surged into Tennessee Street in New Orleans after the levees broke. He couldn't. They died. And people with digital cameras ride along now and say, "Make sure you get the broken porch in the background, Eunice. We paid too much for this tour to not be able to get some of the devastation." Right here is where that fella and his babies floated away. Ain't it sad? God bless America? No. God forgive America. God forgive the filthy, bloated trustees of the Liberty University giggling and cackling about their windfall of $29 million while their fellow Americans live in refugee camps. Jump up and down on them little bellas a little harder, you little demons down in hell. You're going to have to make room for a bunch of evangelical Christians following their leader, their false prophet, their antichrist someday, Jerry Falwell, to that lake of fire. So that's where we begin tonight. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel if you want to save us a buck or two. It's 304-658-5453. Email comes into Bob at headonradio.com. All forms of communication are welcome. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Horn. It's prayer meeting, and I am Brother Bob Kincaid.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs named their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mom?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by your man.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they plant a tree at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Oh, one of these nights, and about 12 o'clock, this old world's going to land rock. Saints, they all tremble and cry for pain, for the Lord's going to come in his heaven airplane.
Twenty-four minutes before the hour. I'm Bob. Come on down. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. All are welcome here. And being as how it's prayer meeting night, you know, we've had our fried chicken, we've had our open-faced meatloaf sandwiches, open-faced roast beef and gravy with mashed potatoes on home-baked white bread down in the basement in the fellowship hall of the church. Now it's time to get it on. Yeah, baby. Okay, I'm going to say this one thing, and I don't want to make anybody mad. I'm going to break my own rule. Sometimes you just can't let things like this go by. Yesterday's news conference with you-know-who. He said we wouldn't say his name. He opened his news conference by saying, "I want to thank everyone for coming out today." Really. That's the kind of stuff you just can't pay to have written or make up. I want to thank everyone for coming out today. I'm not gay. But, you know, that's because you deserve a giggle, not because we're going to talk about it anymore. I do have a reminder for a little media... program note. That's what I'm looking for. Program note. Oh, I've got to quit putting so much gin on my cornflakes this morning. Our good friend, IT consultant extraordinaire, and the most fabulous talk host on the horn, Peter Godbold, of Strictly Confidential, will be a rerun tonight. I got a call from Peter earlier, and he has caught one of those icky summer colds. And we've all had one, and they all... Yuck. Really, a summer cold is worse than a winter cold. It really is, because somehow or another... Well, you know, I mean, it just is. So, Peter's a rerun. In fact, it's a rerun of last night's program. So, just so you can make appropriate plans. The show was so good, you may want to hear it a second time around. It's kind of like listening to a Beatles album. You always get something new out of it. Or, you know, the 14th or 153rd listening to Dark Side of the Moon. There's always a little something more. And that's always the case with Strictly Confidential. Okay, moving on. To the phones. David's calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome aboard.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. I finally hit my rapid share limit, if you believe it or not. I know what the limit is.
What is the limit?
The limit is 25 gigs in 5 days.
You beast! Have you, like, been eating? I mean, have you,
Yeah, I've been eating. I mean, you know, you just download a lot. What it is, you know, you download a lot of trailers, or as you want to call them, films. Hey, did you see I sent you the Richard Donner Superman 2?
Yes, I did.
That's supposed to be really good.
Cool, I'll have a look. That's my weekend enjoyment these days.
All right, then. Good deal. I called to give some inspiring words on prayer meeting.
Okay, cool.
And it's by this guy named... I'll tell you the guy's name and what he stands for and all of that after I'm done reading.
Now you're not going to read us the. You're not going to read us the.
I'm not going to say he's not gay.
No. You're not going to read us the Scientologist manifesto. Okay. I mean, I'm getting rattlesnakes in my mailbox.
No. Not that. This is serious. The Scientology. That's wacko. I pretty
now
much
see you're doing it again.
I meant
they'll move up to cobras.
Rational. I didn't say wacko. I said rational.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So, anyways, I pulled this off randomly on the web, and I kept it in my mailbox for some time, and I meant to say it months and months ago. So, hopefully, someone gets something out of it.
Okay.
They say we are living in uncertain times. I say with certainty that there has never been a moment in human history when things were not uncertain. Every moment is uncertain, unknown. I could die of an aneurysm while writing this, or worse, experience a power outage. Being conscientious about how unpredictable and uncertain life really is helps us to not set ourselves up for disappointment and not get cardiac arrests when well-meaning friends throw us a surprise party at 85. More importantly, on a deeper level, it helps us cherish every moment and makes the best of our time with our loved ones, our time with our work. I myself don't have the luxury of being conscientious of the preciousness of my time here, busy as I am, reminding everyone else how they should be more conscientious of their time here. But that's my job. That's my personal excuse for being here and for doing what I do. We all need some excuse for living. Otherwise, we would be racked with guilt beyond any guilt we'd ever otherwise experience. Life is so awesome that who we are and what we do pales in comparison to the value of the gift that life is and that life offers us in every moment. Then again, you and I, we never asked to be put here. So why feel guilty for living and thus having to drum up some lame excuse for the favor of existing? Exactly. We don't owe nobody nothing, and what we do give to others and to the ever-elusive creator of the ever-puzzling universe is purely altruistic from the goodness of our hearts, our own sweet unadulterated volition. Like the ancient rabbis quote God as saying, I owe my creations nothing, not even their very existence, yet I give to them abundantly. So same here with you, me. We owe nothing to our being here since we never asked to exist, to being with, and therefore the value of what we give back is immeasurable. Take pride then in what you bring to this world, to this life, whether in meaningfulness or in aiding and abetting the lives of others. Take pride in every sandwich you make for someone other than yourself, and in every time you pass the local bank without robbing it, or every time you are inspired to yell at your kids and you don't. Get more in touch with the benefactor you actually are, even if you never gave a penny to any charitable organization or participated in a peace march. To the world, you might be a pathetic miser, but in the eyes of God, you are a saint. Just for that one time or two that you microwaved a dinner for someone or made someone smile, made someone feel good about themselves. Do not underestimate the degree of your righteousness, the value of what you have accomplished in your life, hitherto and forevermore. The ancient rabbis again and again emphasized this important lesson with stories of pimps and thieves who were considered more righteous than the righteously righteous just because they did one or two really nice things for others. In one such recorded in the ancient Jerusalem Talmud, a miracle-working rabbi is asked to pray for rain during a season of severe drought, but to no availability. He prays and prays and prays until he develops a migraine. When finally a heavenly voice says to him, go seek out Potanicus the pimp, for his prayer for rain shall be heard. The rabbi is pissed at such a suggestion, but he looks for this Potanicus fellow in the red light district of ancient Israel, and when he finds him, implores him to please pray for rain. The pimp prays for rain, and it rains immediately. The rabbi, of course, is curious as to why someone of such ill repute can succeed where he couldn't in bringing down the miraculous rain, and so he interrogates the guy. The pimp finally fesses that once this woman came to him pleading that he accept her into his brothel, he tried talking her out of it because she just did not seem like she was really, really into it. But she persists, cries, weeps, pleads, and begs. He realizes she's desperate and asks her why. She explains that she needs the money to redeem her imprisoned husband from the Roman authorities. The pimp then removes his expensive cloak as well as his expensive blankets and pillows and gives it to the woman and says, here, take these and sell them and redeem your husband. The rabbi gets it, Do you? Do I? Can we please remind ourselves that we are so sweet and good and wonderful, that we have already accomplished so much darn, so darn much in our lives, worth not only our existence, but even a couple of reincarnations into more lucrative circumstances? How about an all-expense-paid cruise next time, or prepaid health insurance? Another ancient Jewish teaching goes simply like this. God says, just do, and whatever it is that you find to do, it is pleasing to me. Not much is asked of us other than we try and do our best now and then, and be a little creative about it. Like when you microwave a dinner for someone, remove the wrapper for them, and put the food on a nice dish for them. When you offer to make someone a sandwich, also ask them if they want something to drink with it. Very easy. If you decide to give the poor, goes another teaching, and you actually give to the poor, God rewards you for deciding and forgiving. If you decide to give to the poor and then realize you don't have the means to do so, God rewards you for deciding and also as if you had actually given. Midrash Sefri on Devarim 15:10, or as the 15th century Rabbi Tarpon put it, the work is not upon you to complete, and neither are you exempt from trying. Even in religious matters, the ancient laid-back rabbis, like the revered 2nd century Rabbi Yishama, taught similarly, accept not upon yourself the fulfillment of the entire Torah, but also do not abstain from her altogether. Or as his disciples would later paraphrase his teaching, let not the Torah upon you like an obligation, nor shall you abstain from her. Gift of life, gift of existence, both are great, awesome, cool. But bottom line, let's not forget the most important gift of all, you. You and what you bring to it all, and not just on Hanukkah.
Wow, who is that?
That's by Gershon Winkler, and he's a renowned scholar, and he's a rabbinic trickster. He's authored 11 books, including 7 works on Jewish mysticism, and he also he studies in the teaching of Aboriginal Judaism, which is a rustic form of Judaism that involves nature and more elements of that.
That's I like a lot of that. Of course, I don't know. Maybe God rewards you for having the good idea, but you know, there's also what is it? I guess in the book of James, where it says faith without works is dead. So you know, get out there. If you can get out there and do something, get out there and do something. Meaning well is good. Doing well is better.
I agree to that an extent, but I think he's right. A lot of people take the little things. We take all the little things that we do and others do for us for granted every single day, and it just flies by us. And like he was saying, he said, "I don't have time. I have to remind everyone instead of focusing on myself."
He's trying to tell us to be more cognizant of the decency that surrounds us that goes unnoticed and unthanked.
Right.
I can be sitting in here in the morning producing programs, for instance. And I don't ask.
Right.
And the next thing you know, there's my beloved Agnes bringing me a cup of coffee.
Exactly.
And you know what? That is that's a blessing. That is a good thing. And she doesn't do it because God told her to. She didn't do it because there's the carrot of eternal life or the stick of torment in hell. She does it because she is fundamentally and basically and essentially an exquisite human being. Okay?
Right, exactly. And I agree with a lot. You know, when you put a lot of your thoughts out there and you make an op-ed of what you personal, on humanity and teachings and spirituality, there's always going to be something you don't agree with, you know?
Sure, there is. But,
well,
you know, I mean, like, every Wednesday and Saturday I get to, and I've gotten to the point where it's a little gift I give to myself. I run out and I buy my stupid little Powerball ticket that will never win. Now, see, there's my absence of faith, but it's not faith. It's understanding that I've got a 1 in 280 million chance, and every time I play it, some joker from Richmond, Indiana wins or something. But when I do that, I have so much fun, David.
Yeah.
Because in the hours, I buy the ticket, and then when the drawing is at 11 o'clock at night Eastern time, and then I don't check it that night, I wait till the morning. and I look at Agnes as we go to sleep, and I say, you know what? We could be rich beyond our wildest dreams right now, and we don't even know it. And then we sit and we talk about what we do with it.
Right.
And it's really fun because, and the reason I thought about this, you know, some would say it's a little form of psychosis on my part, but I know that everybody else does it too. We look at each other and we start talking about what we do with it, and without fail, you know, we talk about a house, or we talk about a car, or we talk about a nice vacation, because we haven't had a vacation since God was a baby. But mostly we talk about whose lives we could make better, or who we could help, or who needs something, or who we could give something to.
Right.
You know, I've got a buddy who is a Porsche aficionado out in the Midwest, and I think, you know, the first thing I'm going to do is just have a new Porsche delivered, just boom, right in his driveway. Just to watch him giggle.
Yeah.
You know, to get things for people that they really, really want or really, really need. And it would be so much, it would be like getting to be Santa Claus, for heaven's sakes.
Mm.
And that's the fun part, I think, of me getting to, me buying my stupid little lottery ticket because I get to take a sort of, it's not imaginary, so to speak, but it is. It's a way of looking and trying to examine what my perceptions are of what people want and what people need, and how much fun it would be to meet those wants, to satisfy those wants, or meet those needs. And that is the really, really fun part of the lottery for me. And I guess that makes me weird.
No, I think it makes you. It makes you real. I think a lot of people, you know, I was just thinking of this. If we got everything that we wanted in terms of a political party or a ideology, and we just woke up one day and we received everything that we wanted on the plate, would we really have gotten everything that we would want? Could we really hold it together for a week or 2 weeks, or if we had everything that we on our list that we wanted from?
Yeah.
You think so?
I
don't know, because I think personally, you know, there always has to be something else that you want to change or something.
Well,
if you live in a perfect world, you know, it's not perfect anymore, or the world that we think is.
And when you confront yourself with something like winning the lottery.
Yeah.
We have an object lesson here in West Virginia in the form of a guy that you may have heard our good friend Wayne talk about a little bit. He's a loathsome individual. He was a loathsome individual before he won what was at the time the largest Powerball jackpot in history, and he was a loathsome, more loathsome individual after he won it. He won some $370 million cash.
You know, that story right there makes me think that he knew someone at the lottery and rigged it. I mean, it just seems too...
No, he didn't. I mean, no. He shows up on the Today Show on Christmas Day with his black shirt and his black pants and his black hat and ain't got his tifus in. And talks about, I'm going to give some money to the church. This guy's granddaughter and boyfriend were both found dead of drug overdoses because he just said, you know, boy, the ship is in. You know, he's been beaten up in parking lots. He says he's been robbed by strippers and their bouncer boyfriends. He can't go to Atlantic City or Vegas anymore because they've got a fascination with his kneecaps, because even though he's a multi-hundred millionaire, the guy won't pay his debts, his gambling debts. And so, you know, that's the cautionary tale about it.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is when we contemplate something like the lottery, something like a huge windfall of money like that, suddenly you're confronted with the finiteness of life if you don't have enough inside you to fill it up.
You know, that's interesting you say windfall, because there was a concept show on NBC. I don't know if you ever saw any episode of it. It was called Windfall, and it was like a pilot season. And I think it lasted like 12 episodes. And what it was about was about what would happen if three or four people won a lottery, and the consequences and the rewards around them, and would the consequences swallow them eventually.
Well, there have been studies, David, of people who win the lottery, and they are not happy endings, because immediately the person is beset by people wanting some of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times the people don't have the internal starch to deal with that kind of money. So, you know, the question, because, you know, like I said, I sit around and I think about this kind of thing. Would I travel? Yeah, I would see every last blessed pyramid in Central America. I'd see Machu Picchu. I'd see the places that I've been looking at in books with color plates since I was a little bitty boy. I'd sit down and try to learn languages. That's how I define luxury.
Right.
You know, I'd go places and eat fabulous meals, yes, but I'd try to use it to make my existence somehow more meaningful. Not to say that it's some sort of existentialist meaningless nightmare as it is, but to go and to see that kind of thing, and to, you know, because, you know, what, oh boy, I can have a box seat at the football stadium. Whee! You know, that's, you have to confront what defines your existence. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
You have to confront how you define you. See, just as, you know, Jack Whitaker before the lottery and Jack Whitaker after the lottery, there's no difference. He's just a richer, more miserable person. You know, all this business about money can't buy happiness, the only people you ever hear saying that are people who don't have any money. Money can buy happiness. But it can only buy happiness if the person who gets the money knows how to be happy.
You were talking about Mayan temples. That would be kind of cool if during the 2012 thing, if you actually broadcasted from a...
wouldn't I love to? Yeah, from the...
With a little bit of planning and focus, I mean, it's not like it's going to happen like next year. I mean, you got 4 or 5 years on it. So.
But I don't think they've got Wi-Fi at Chichen Itza.
They might by that time.
True. The whole world might be Wi-Fi'd by that time, although I did notice a story today that Chicago has apparently given up on its plan to Wi-Fi the entire city.
It might be Mi-Fi'd. Mind-Fi'd.
Oh, God, let's don't go there. Hey, David, it's always fun talking to you, my friend.
No problem, Bob. I'll send you that article and that website where I got it from, so you can get the guy's newsletter.
Yeah, that should make for some enjoyable naval.
He might be interesting to have on. I mean, he's a scholar of Jewish mysticism. We can all learn a little bit more about Jewish mysticism.
We can all learn a little bit more about what's inside all of our own skulls, and that includes mysticism.
Learn more every day. That's the code we should all live.
Bingo. Maybe that's what faith without works is dead actually means.
Oh, yeah, Bob, and one more thing, I'm not gay.
Oh, okay, just checking. Later. Bye now. Jesus, David. Is that the, you know, I don't know, I'd go back and forth. I'm kind of waffly on mysticism. On the one hand, I'm down with the line from Hamlet, you know, where, you know, there are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophies. Okay, I got that. Sometimes it does rain frogs, you know, but usually there's a scientific explanation for why, like a nearby tornado over a frog pond. And I like living in a rational world. I had to explain that to a fundy not too long back who, you know, I feel so sorry for you, Bob, you're going to hell. You know, and I said, you know, no, I feel sorry for you because you wake up and you have to live every day in a world that's full of demons and Santa Clauses and angels dancing on pinheads, and there's devils and angels and all this made-up crap that doesn't exist. You know, I like living in a rational world. But then again, every now and then, but I'm also a sucker for a Graham Hancock book. And wondering if the pyramids actually are 10,000 years old instead of 3. Because of the way they line up so cool with the belt of Orion and everything. You know what I mean. It's fun to ponder. It's what your brain's for. It's what my brain's for. And that's what's fun about the lottery, is contemplating, you know, not running around and just being hedonistic. But running around and getting to be Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy all rolled into one. At least that's where I'm coming from. So that's an hour of the program. Daggum, where'd it go? That's all right. The cathedral is open for another 2 hours, and you are more than welcome down here by the pulpit, down here at the altar. Come get your cracker! I'm Bob Kincaid. This is the Head On Radio Network.
Eaten. This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have released 12 of the 19 missionaries taken hostage 6 weeks ago. The release comes after a promise from Seoul to withdraw troops and cease missionary activity. The remaining hostages are expected to be released by tomorrow. Radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has suspended actions of his Mahdi army for 6 months and has claimed they will no longer attack U.S. and coalition forces. According to a Sadr aide, the anti-American cleric wants to reorganize the Mahdi army and rehabilitate it after breaking into factions. Coalition forces killed more than 100 Afghani militants today following an attack on a coalition envoy in Kandahar. One Afghan soldier was killed and 6 others wounded. There were no reports of civilian casualties. Also in Afghanistan, a suicide bomber attacked a bridge under construction in an eastern province, killing 3 U.S. soldiers. 6 other American troops were wounded. President Bush is in the Gulf Coast region today, marking the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The president visited a charter school in New Orleans, where he said better days are ahead. He will also visit Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, while in the region. The former Prime Minister of Pakistan said that Pervez Musharraf will step down as head of the military before the next presidential election. Officials say the decision is a significant step forward in a power-sharing deal with Pakistan's opposition government. Greek firefighters announced today that they have gained control over wildfires that have killed 63 people in recent days. The government has been hit with accusations of incompetence for their handling of the situation. After detaining them in a central Baghdad hotel last night, U.S. troops this morning released 8 captive Iranians, turning them over to Iraqi authorities. The U.S. said they were arrested for carrying guns without the necessary permits. The Washington Post reports President Bush is poised to ask Congress for another $50 billion to fund the Iraq War. Congress has thus far allocated $607 billion for the 2008 Pentagon budget. An internal Army investigation faults trainers at Fort Hood, Texas, for the June death of an Iraq war veteran during maneuvers. 24 other soldiers were hospitalized during the grueling training exercises. 8 trainers may face criminal charges. In Idaho, a wildfire is roaring toward Sun Valley Ski Resort, fed by high winds and soaring temperatures. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's a major but not unexpected development. The deadly bird flu has mutated so it can be passed on from person to person. The UN has long predicted a devastating international pandemic. Researchers at NOAA are blaming human activity as the biggest reason for record-breaking warm temperatures last year in 48 states. NASA today will release its internal investigation into reports astronauts were intoxicated before launches. Officials say they are optimistic the report will indicate the problem was minor. The College Board says math and reading SAT scores this year were the lowest in 8 years. The board attributes the poor high school senior scores to a more diverse group of test takers. The test was changed 2 years ago. Pharmacy benefits manager Medco will acquire diabetes specialist PolyMedica for $1.2 billion. The deal is expected to increase Medco's diabetic client base by 1 million customers. Share of Dillard's department store chain fell 3.5% after it announced a quarterly loss of more than $25 million. The Arkansas-based company noted a drop in sales. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.55 a barrel. Gold is trading at $674.40 an ounce. Wall Street has rebounded today. The Dow is up 174 points. NASDAQ up 41. S&P 500 up 20. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
All right, 5.5 past the hour. We're on schedule. Something is terribly, terribly wrong. Hit the news on schedule, all of that stuff. Nah, it's prayer meet. It's prayer meeting here, and we've got, you know, I've got your typical prayer meeting stories. We're toward the end of August, and it is, in fact, the anniversary of the single most devastating attack on the United States in history, namely Hurricane Katrina. And it is, therefore, an anniversary of the greatest failure of the greatest bunch of incompetent losers ever to inhabit the halls of power. I'm not going to play you the soundbite of George Bush saying, "And it's my pledge to you that we will rebuild." You know, because when he said that then, we knew it was BS, and it's still BS, and it'll be BS 100 years from now. I'm not going to play you Barbara Bush saying, "Well, it's all working out quite nice for them here living in the Astrodome." I'm not going to do that either, and I'm not going to play Laura Bush calling it Hurricane Corinna. Hell, I'm surprised she didn't call it Hurricane Condoleezza. I'm not going to do any of that. It seems uncalled for. We can talk about it. That is called for, because it is the overarching silence of the American people that has allowed the Bush administration to ignore thousands and thousands and thousands of human beings to death. Our silence has been our acceptance. Our silence has been their excuse. Our silence has been our conviction. To those who actually tried to do something about it, my endless admiration. To those, however, who have spent so much as one damn second, and I include myself in this, talking about Paris Hilton, or Lindsay Lohan, or Michael Vick, or any of the meaningless garbage that has pulled our focus away from the Gulf Coast, from the Ninth Ward. Shame. Shame. Eternal, boundless, endless, utter, and absolute shame. Shame. So, where do we go on this anniversary? Where do we go as we remember George Bush and his too high up the neck G chord on his brand new guitar that said George W? Where do we go as we recall him cutting birthday cake while the lower Ninth Ward drowned? Where do we go? What do we do? How do we address it? What does it mean? I'm only good for questions. I am absolutely not the answer guy on this. I have not gone to the Gulf Coast. I have not swung a hammer. I have not driven a nail. I have not held two boards together. I have done what I have wondered from time to time is not, it might perhaps be the single most worthless thing that anyone could do, and that is to sit here and prate on about it instead of getting up and going and doing. But I know those who have gone and done, and I admire them, and I admire those who are still doing. And I admire the people who, in the face of what, you know, basically works out to be, and I'm not uncomfortable saying this, an attempt at genocide. I admire the people who've had the guts enough to try to stay. Where gutting it out is something that happens every minute of every day. Where being from somewhere matters for some, it matters more than not being from there. Where the pull of the soil all the way down to the blood cell level attaches a person to a place. I admire the willingness to the courage to stand up in the face of people. What did one of those Republican activists say? We couldn't redistrict Louisiana, so God did it for us. Lord. There are complaints sometimes that, to the extent that you know, we are living in uncivil times, that our political discourse has become cheapened and vulgar. But you know what? As long as there are people like that Republican who can say that God redistricted Louisiana for the Republican Party, as long as there are people like John Gibson on Fox News Radio who can tolerate and condone and suborn people on his program referring to people like John, well, referring to John Edwards' wife as a whore, who can say that Hillary Clinton has engaged in a backroom deal with Al-Qaeda. As long as that is tolerated, I will tell you that we have far too civil, not uncivil, far too civil a society. And as long as refugees remain in poison trailers filled with the gases of decaying formaldehyde, degrading formaldehyde, as long as we can just sit here and tolerate it, saying much good, if anything, about this society is not something I'm willing to be part of. When I open my web browser, my default page is just because MSNBC. Actually, it's MSN.com. MSN.com. And one of the topic headers is "What's Right with Sports?" After a summer of scandals, 11 things worth cheering for. And they had the nerve to hang that up there on this day. Perfect mom myth busting. Why, you're a great mom no matter how you mother. How about when you mother in the middle of a deluge? How about if you mothered and no matter how well or how hard you mothered, your child, your children died? How about if you parented to the extent of strapping your two children to your body to hope that they wouldn't get dragged away by the waters, but then all three of you did and you died? How are we supposed to feel about that, MSN editors? Huh? I'm not trying to make this a wallow fest. I don't want to wallow. I want us to actually pay attention and try to do something about what has happened to America. Oh, Jesus, this is turning into a sermonette. I better find a news story to blabber about. Starting early this morning, Katrina has been on my mind all day long. I know the devastation came a couple of... The real horrors began a couple of days later, but this is basically... this is basically the anniversary. And I wish to God there had been some way for me to go and do something. And I guess it's some comfort what David was sharing about the value of good intentions. And there is value in good intentions. But too true also is the idea that faith without works is dead. There's a book out now from Mother Teresa. I heard our good friend Tony Seaton from Quality News Network talking about it on his program that we run in delay, America Back on Track, where she her letters indicate that she had profound crises of faith. Good. Crises of faith are good things. Whether you believe in an invisible critter or don't believe in invisible critters, crises of faith are places where the growing takes place. At least as far as I can tell. Still, in the end, Mother Teresa, who ministered to the sick and the dying when her time came, was flown away not to die in misery and abject poverty on a concrete floor, but to die in relative opulence. Maybe she'd earned it. I don't know. Concepts of earning and debt become very weird and fluid in situations like that. But that is where we are this evening. And I'm not going to let it stay this way. Perhaps you will take it somewhere as well. Let's find out if Kate wants to take it somewhere. Calling from Arizona. Hey, Kate, welcome to the program. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I didn't hear the last 5 or 6 minutes of your...
I know, because you were talking with Agnes.
We were talking, girl talking. It ain't none of your business.
Nah, I don't even want to know.
Thank you. Sure don't. I've had a bad day today, and I'm feeling lonesome and sad for my friends in Mississippi who... I got a letter the other day from I did relief work back there in January, from January to April of I guess it was this year, because it's still 06, right? No, 07.
kind of runs together after a while, doesn't it?
They all look the same, right? And I got a letter from a grandma who said she asked about my family here and where I do caregiving, and she's all concerned, and she's concerned about me, and she said, I've been sick and it's been real hot, but I'm better now, and nothing's been done to the house. It's just like it was when you left, but it'll be okay. I'm, you know, oh, I thought, oh my God. I have a whole notebook page full of names and addresses and phone numbers of people whose houses are just like they were when I left, because they don't have enough volunteers, and whatever. So I'm just...
It's volunteers, it's materials, it's money,
yeah,
it's...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a perfect storm of need.
And if this phone connection hangs up on me, I'm just going to call back like I always do.
That'll be fine.
when I was back there, I guess there's an overarching question about... disaster fatigue or something. I don't know what does it take to get people's attention. I had a little specific group of addressees in my Yahoo box, and I wrote to everybody and said, I'm going to be here doing this and whatever, and I'll stay in touch. And I got a lot of, all from women. Oh, right on, sister. Are you doing what the rest of us should be doing? You always do that, you know, you just carry the light, girl, you know. And so I kept mailing. I'd write a little bulk note in Yahoo to these people and say, oh, this is what's happened, and this is what it looks like, and this is what we're doing. And I'm working for this guy and doing that, and you know, I sent in what the conditions were and how bad it was and how good it was and how sweet the people were and how good the catfish was, and I mail that little bulk mailing to those 20 people about every 4 weeks, 3-4 weeks, and toward the end, I mean, and no, you know, one or two people would answer me, oh, hello. And toward the end, when it was like the biggest, and when it was like the most not pathetic, and I wasn't railing and whining and screaming and ranting, it was just, I sent out 20 emails, and I got one person answered me back and at the end and said, oh, it's just so big. People wouldn't even respond to my personal emails, and I was heartbroken about that, because I first took it because it was all about me, but then I realized there's something about this whole event, this whole situation down here, that people, it's so big, people can't understand it. And I had some friends who, you know, I would say, thank you for your love and your light and your prayers, now I need gift cards. So this, I'm segueing. Am I still on?
Yes.
You're still here.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, Jesus, how long did I monologue?
No. I'm listening. I'm transfixed.
No, you know this. I never know when the phone hangs up on me. So I just, hello, is anybody there?
Yeah, we're here. Yeah.
I
tell you what, every 2 minutes I'll go beep.
Thank you. Or you could just hum in the background. play some music, Agnes. Anyway, where was I at? Oh, people want to know what they can do if they can't do anything. I have some friends who just would send gift cards, and one of the people who did respond was Malloy, and I would mail him a rant, and I didn't think he ever was reading them or anything, you know. And one night he'd respond back with a couple of words, and one night he read one of my emails, and he just was so angry. God, he just went into one of his Italian Irish rants, and he said, son of bitches, just go on this website and send her some goddamn money or something. Do something. He just ranted.
Yeah.
It was about 48 hours later, I got a $100 check from a woman up in the Bronx. Truth seeker, this is all we can do.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So anyway, I'm using up all my time here. What I wanted to let people know.
Your time is not finite unless it is on your end.
No, there's nothing finite about me.
Okay, then you're not using up any time.
I'm infinite. except my wisdom. Where people are so burned out, like if you've given money to Red Cross, you need to ask for it back because, buddy, that mess, that got to be such a mess. They got so much money they didn't know what to do with it, and they still don't know what to do with it. The red tape people in Mississippi from the governor's office told me, well, we just don't have any way to spend. We've got, yes, we've got the money, but we don't have any means or method to spend it. It's just, we don't have any way to distribute it. Because we're bean counters, and y'all are the bean growers. And I wanted to take him up by the throat and throw him against the wall, but I just smiled. And I said, I have a file drawer of 200 people where it would be easy to spend the money. So the governor's office clearly just said they just didn't know how to spend the money. It was just too big. They didn't have any way to get it to the people and yada, yada. Everybody who gets money has a case manager.
And so, case managers cost money.
No, hell no. We were volunteers.
Okay. No. I thought you were talking about within the state bureaucratic structure.
Oh, hell no. They don't. There is no infrastructure. I mean, they'd have these people, and they'd have these people, and they'd have people with blue FEMA shirts on, and yada, yada. But, yeah, there's a couple of agencies in Jackson County. That's all I know about is Jackson County, Mississippi. They had some case managers who they're working for an agency, and they are getting paid. I imagine it's Mississippi wages, but they're getting funding from several different places, and they're doing good work.
You know, there's stuff to be remembered, though, Kate. One of the things that George Bush did in the immediate aftermath when he did pay, you know, he suddenly noticed that there was a little problem down there. Among his first responses to Katrina and the aftermath was to cut the wages of emergency construction workers.
Yeah, whatever that act was, that Bacon thing or something.
It was to suspend Davis Bacon. Davis Bacon's a very important piece of legislation.
You bet.
Because it ensures that the people of the United States will not use our tax money to build things on the cheap and ask the people who build our do our public works to work for dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he did was to try to suspend Davis Bacon, and there was such an outcry that he had to back off of it.
Mm-hmm. And if you listen to people who are on, I hate this term, who are like really in and amongst and who are doing the work, you'll hear person after person after person say, if it weren't for the Latins coming up from Central and South America and Mexico, we wouldn't have gotten shit done.
Yeah.
And you hear people say, well, people who don't even know where Louisiana is on the map or where Mississippi is at the end of the river, they don't know nothing. They say, well, they're Mexicans just coming in and doing all, just taking our job. Oh, God, I get so crazy. That's why I've been in a state.
Well, look, we turned down much needed aid from Venezuela.
And from Cuba. The whole hospital ship away from Cuba.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the story last week. Newsweek had an exclusive first interview with Dr. Anna Powell.
The woman from the hospital.
Yeah, and she sat there and talked in some detail about what life was like inside that hospital. Here at the beginning of the show, the power blinked.
Yeah.
We were without electricity for about 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I was getting ready to slip into crisis mode and run, go get the mm-hmm. generator going and mm-hmm. fire and do all of that mm-hmm. stuff that has mm-hmm. to happen. And fortunately, power came back. But
when it doesn't ever come back,
right?
And it's 120 degrees, and you've got people in that humidity, and they're terminal anyway. Bless her heart, I think she should have been given a medal for the work that she did.
And frankly, that Louisiana Attorney General ought to be run out of that state on a rail. He ought to be disbarred.
Yeah.
He should never be allowed in a courtroom or anywhere near a pleading or anything related to the legal system ever again.
Yeah, and there are so many people that, and I don't even want to go there because I'm bound to say something seditious. If people want to help, people are reluctant to give money or that sort of thing because the woman in Lowe's in Phoenix the other day said to me, I said, gee, it's funny coming into a Lowe's and not seeing people picking up hurricane material, you know, and she said, what? And I told her what I'd been doing, and I said, I spent 15 trips a day to Lowe's for some of my crews, and she said, and we use gift cards, and she said, well, how do you know that the people are using it to spend? I thought, oh, don't even go there, white girl. Oh, my God. I said, we would have a client. I know you hate that word, but I don't know. We'd have a person who needed their house fixed. I'd have the Lowe's card in my back pocket. I'd swing around to the crew and say, anybody need anything here? I'm passing through. Yeah, I need some wire ties, and I need some of this, and some bright nails, and that, and I take the card, and I go over and pop off $15 off of the card. And then if I got any money, I would put it back on the card, and that way two or three of us were roaming around the town with Lowe's gift cards in our back pockets, taking materials and supplies and that sort of thing. Now, the people who are doing, the person, you had Jim on before, I think, the person who's still doing the work, when you send the gift cards, you send the donation checks to Jackson County Coalition.
Jackson County Community, yeah, JCCC.
SC.
Yeah, JCCSC.
JCCSC. Go on the webpage, send your donations to Jim, and the people we're working together with a couple of different agencies and a whole bunch of volunteers. There's a group from Kalamazoo, Michigan, who this fall will be their sixth trip to the Gulf Coast. 200 people come in buses and RVs and they bring a whole trailer full of sheetrock, and they just hang sheetrock all over. I mean, the 200 people include a lot of little short people too, but you know, that's the census.
Right.
But anyway, they have a whole crew of electricians and welders, and, you know, contractors and laborers and librarians, and, you know, just everybody comes down, and this will be their sixth trip from Kalamazoo.
Well, I remember Jim Yancey saying that you know, he wanted this done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This can't become an ongoing project it'll never get done.
No, it won't. No. And the people I worked with, I left there in April, and this is now August, and I won't be there till mid-October. And they'll still be sitting there when Grandma has to empty the Rubbermaid tubs at the end of her bed every time it rains because her roof is leaking, and FEMA said it didn't get damaged by the hurricane, and so you don't, whatever. So,
how can they make a statement like that?
How what?
How can you make a statement like that? Roof leaks, how can
I don't know. I don't know. Don't even. I don't have.
Okay, I won't. So.
Ooh, buddy. But yeah. I can only remember. I can tell you the story about the guy who got in the fight with the insurance company with FEMA, and he was over in the bayou someplace over in Louisiana, and someplace close, you know, between Biloxi and New Orleans. He said, well, I can tell you that my house got wind damaged, and it got water damaged, and it got flooded, and it got blowed down, because I was hanging in the friggin' tree and watched it all happen.
And they said?
For 2 days, well, I reckon he got paid. I don't know. It was yeah, he did. That was the point. The only way you could get your money was if you were witness to the event.
Jesus.
And I just wanted to say that people, you know, the other day I said, yeah, see, nobody ever believes me. You said, well, if they did, you wouldn't be Cassandra anymore. I hadn't been down there 15, 20 minutes or 3 hours and said, damn, this looks like Jackson County is the poorest state, poorest county in Mississippi, which is the poorest state in the Union. And Moss Point is the poorest city in Jackson County. Obviously, it's all black. Not all, but it's predominantly African American. It's one of the older settlements there on the edge of the river bank and blah blah. And a beautiful old town, and it's just being let melt. Doesn't anybody see what's happening here? Pascagoula gets Ocean Springs, or everybody gets the Goche. Everybody gets all of the, but nobody's doing anything in Moss Point. What is up with this? I mean, I said, sister, they're just letting you melt and run back into the bayou. They just want your black ass back in Detroit or Chicago. And she said, mm-hmm. So, I mean, people are totally aware of the fact that Moss Point's not getting any attention. They've got a mayor who's from Chicago or something. He doesn't even live in the city. He's pretty, but he's ineffectual. And ineffective, I mean. And it's so sad. The genocide that's what I first thought of when I got there was, oh, all the white stuff come back up, but the black stuff is just all kind of still melting. And I'm trying to not present that to people.
Kind of hard, but it's kind of hard not to.
Yeah, and so I got to where, you know, I don't flipping care. I just would just come out with just ignorant white girl northern statements. What I did was nailed.
I resist screaming and carrying on, Kate, but some of it's kind of hard to avoid. I mean, this is an anniversary, and it's an anniversary I wish to hell we weren't marking, okay?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But I, you know, on the same day that I want to talk about what hasn't been done, what needs to be done, what is an ongoing crisis, I mean, you know, look, you've been there. You can tell me better than I can say it. Am I wrong when I talk about refugee camps? I mean, just because there's white trailers with aluminum siding on them doesn't make it any less a refugee camp.
They are. Yeah, they are. And people are dying in them. And
suicide is a problem. And formaldehyde inhalation is a problem. And there's blood disorders and cluster headaches. And people who have worked all their lives and earned their livings, that these right-wing freaks say, they're just looking for a handout.
Yeah, they don't. When I'm sitting doing a kind of what we'd consider an intake in the business, I'm talking to a lady to try to get whatever need. I worked with single parents, disabled, and elderly. Are we still hooked up?
Yeah, we're right here.
Okay. I thought I heard a click. That was NSA. Give those boys a raise. I would, the lady just started bleeding while we were talking, you know, mouth and nose and, you know, just tissues in her respiratory system were wrecked. And so people aren't looking for handouts. They just want to go home.
I know.
There's no home.
And so at the same time that we're talking about all this, Kate, I got to bring up a story from Reuters, and the headline is Bush to request $50 billion more, Kate, more for the Iraq war.
No, it's for the invasion of Iran. We're going.
Well, I know that, and you know that, but I'm reading you the headline. Bush to request $50 billion more for Iraq war.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really get too much upset about that because, for one thing, there's no such thing as money, so he's just asking for chips, and they're going to give him that, and then there's no money, and then it just like you said, a $50 gift card for Lowe's. Not Home Depot, but people say, Jim always says Home Depot. In order to use the Home Depot card in Jackson County, you got to go clear over to Gulfport. That's way too far. Lowe's is the only thing available. There's probably one in Mobile, but it's just too far. Lowe's is just right down on the street.
Sure.
There's no such thing as money. Lowe's has a board of sheetrock, and I take the card in, and I get paid $10 for the sheetrock and go take it over to the next job. There's no, you know, he only wants that money to go kill more of our babies and turn them into red mist and send them home, send their trunks home.
Right. But today, again, oh dear, I hope I don't get visited by humorless men in black suits and skinny ties and things in their ears. But, you know, he went into the lower Ninth Ward today, George Bush did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the people of the lower Ninth Ward actually let him be there.
Oh, I know. I think they just are looking around going, what's he doing here? Oh, my God.
New Orleans.
Another one of those assholes on the tour bus, you know. They just look at him and go,
New Orleans' better days are ahead. Hurricane Katrina broke through the levees. It broke a lot of hearts. It destroyed buildings, but it didn't affect the spirit of a lot of citizens in this community. A lot of people down here probably wondered whether or not those of us in the federal government, not from Louisiana, would pay attention to Louisiana or Mississippi. In other words, it's one thing to come and give a speech in Jackson Square. It's another thing to keep paying attention to whether or not progress is being made.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I hope people understand we do. We're still paying attention. We understand. I don't care if he understands. You know, faith without, it's what I started theming with in the first hour, Kate. Faith without works is dead.
Yeah, that's the one cool thing about being down there is that I had a bit of a, well, there's the whole state of Mississippi is run by the Southern Baptist Conference, and that you can take that to the friggin' bank. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care about Trent Lott. He's got the biggest, whitest Baptist church in Jackson County in the lower part of Mississippi. They run the state, okay? And so people just saying, praise God, and God did this, and that somebody, if it weren't for God, oh, God is good, and oh, praise God, and they were, you know, and God then turned the water around, and I, you know, heard so many of those stories that I started kind of believing them, like, you know, maybe that really did happen. I don't know. But the people have so much faith in their God in the community that I lived in. It was astounding. And I thought, but what about Bush? I mean, God. Whatever. There was one other thing I wanted to say about people who are listening, I'm checking, I need a sound check here.
Yeah, you're okay.
Okay. People need, if they would like to, the winters are lovely on the Gulf Coast, in Pascagoula and Moss Point, Mississippi, down around Biloxi. Oh, they're beautiful. And if anybody is sitting, like I was told somebody over here on Sarge's show, you know, that we have a lot of people sitting over here in RVs and trailers and campers and stuff, and they're just spending the winter here, and they've got experience and skills. They could just drag up and go on over there. There's plenty of places to park. We could eat at David's Kitchen for $6, three meals a day for $6. You don't have to lift a board of sheetrock. There's plenty of people around who just don't know how to pound a nail into a board of sheetrock. You just show them how. There's a lot of things. You can work at the dog pound. You can work at the Humane Society. You can volunteer in the hospital and the nursery. There's so many things to do in Jackson County. And if you just go over there and stay for 5 or 6 days.
If you show up, somebody like Jim Yancey will put you to work.
Yeah, it happens.
And everybody doesn't have to be an electrician. Everybody doesn't have to be a certified card-carrying cement finisher.
Not at all.
There's paper to be pushed. There's a need for literate people.
Yeah. Well, when the Red Cross and everybody makes the big forms that you have to fill out to get the grants and the loans and the yada yadas, and they have a stack that's an inch and a half thick, and it's got all the fine print and stuff, they're giving these forms and these applications to people who are semi-literate or can't read a word except their own name. And I just looked at that and I thought, why? How can this be happening? Blaming anybody. I'm just saying there's such a gap between knowledge and experience. And if you're trying to talk, it's like living in a foreign country. If you can't understand the language, you don't understand the culture. You need to have somebody as a liaison or somebody to help you through the maze of the culture, you know, and teach you how to eat, where to get the best catfish. There was one more thing that was going to be important. The forms and the literacy and the the health. There is absolutely no mental health care down there whatsoever. Jim was the emergency responder for mental health, and he's still. Oh, I know. You don't even have to know who to contact when you get to how to get there. A woman in Chicago emailed Malloy and said, "This is who I am, and I need to do. I want to know how to get hold of Sarge." Malloy sends her whole long email to Sarge. Sarge sends it to Yancey, and I logged on the computer one morning with my first cup of coffee, and he goes, "Ann's coming in from Chicago. This is her contact." So it went around and around and around and around, and then she's been back there 7 times doing geriatric research on geriatric psychiatry and trauma and abuse. And so I gave her a list of people to plug into, and she's lightened the life of several elder women who are just, one man who are just, they're just in love with the skinny little white girl from Chicago. So anybody can go there and do whatever they can, and you get more out of it than you put in, that's for sure.
And you do, yeah. There's no question by the time you're done, you have made a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Miss Exie writes me a letter and says, "How's your family doing?" I mean, yeah. And sometimes with the genocide going on, this is my in closing, like David does. I, like Baptist preacher, I close 7 times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you verily. Hallelujah.
Verily I say unto you. And I just closed myself out of the thought.
Sorry, I shouldn't have done that.
No, it's okay. I interrupt myself. I do that better than you do. With the genocide going on, I feel such a frustration. Like, I feel embarrassed to be going down there and working with such conviction and sweating and working so hard. And, I mean, I don't hang sheetrock anymore. I let the youngsters do that. But working, you think, what the hell are we doing this for? You know, this don't going to matter. It's just the house was a wreck before we come in to, you know, it's embarrassing. I mean, and I feel like all these big old rich people, white people are looking at us going, and they come through on the bus going, "Yeah, right, go on, sister, you do it." So what I figured for this year is if all I can do is go down and take Miss Exie and Miss Thelma and Grandma Annie and Brother David, just go in and laugh and take them some food and sit and listen and just talk shit all day long and listen to their story and cry and laugh and just make them laugh and just make fun of the government. And just make them laugh, help them laugh. What I have come to, way into the middle of my stay last spring, was in the morning when I walked out on the back porch of the condemned gym where I was living, I thought, holy shit, I'm just here to do hospice care for Jackson County.
Yeah.
And as soon as I had that revelation, that little enlightenment, I thought, oh, okay, now that I know how to do. And so I changed my whole focus. I mean, still hanging that, slamming that sheetrock up, buddy, dredging out those and tearing out those termite walls and stuff, you know, still with conviction, still we're doing the rebuilding and the rehabbing, but with the conviction or the shift in consciousness level that I'm just here to help somebody at their end of their life, because I was working primarily with disabled and elders. Mm-hmm. And so all I can do is just make their day better. And yet just laugh. We'd laugh our asses off. We'd make fun of everybody. We'd talk shit. We'd gossip. We'd make fun of everybody. And we just have a good time. And the sense of humor is, well, you know, you lived around that culture, and it's just wonderful. And that's all I could do, was just help somebody die with dignity, and that's what I'm going back for this time. Still slapping up that sheetrock, running to Lowe's. Walmart, too, the other thing. Go on Jim's webpage, and you'll see he has a list of things they need, how to do it, how to get it to him, what the address is and everything, and Jim sees to it. He's got a bunch of us running around in the county. Jim sees to it that people get what you send to him, to the coalition. He's the most honest, straight-up, loving human that I've met in a long time.
Yeah, this isn't one of those charities where 51% of dollars donated goes to administration costs.
No. He has a salary. He's the executive director of the coalition, but he has been that for quite a while. He has a staff, but the most of us just care so much about him, we go down there and work for nothing, you know.
Yeah.
So if you're a little hesitant, or you're a little reluctant, or you've been burned with donations and you really don't know, go on to JCCSC and .org, and I'm hoping that you'll have Jim on during the hurricane season sometime in the next few days, weeks, or something.
I am going to try to get him on. I'm glad you've reminded me. You know, the days just run one, and it's not an excuse. It's the truth. The days just sort of run one into the other.
They do.
And but I do need to get Jim Yancey back on here, because it's... If there's anything to come out of tonight's program, it is the idea that it's not over.
Oh, hell no.
And I'm sorry, but it did drive me crazy. I've had this on my mind all day long, and I click over and I see, Falwell's insurance pays off.
Mm, mm, mm. Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't tell you whether you want to say mentally or psychically or spiritually or even physically, I cannot begin to tell you what seeing that headline did to me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've been feeling that way for about the last 48 hours. There's just no way.
And see, when there's no words, it makes it particularly rough for me, because I have to make up 3 hours worth of words anyway.
Well, I helped with a half hour.
Yes, you did.
I went right through your bottom break.
We don't really count that stuff anymore. You know, on the day when I've got advertisers and I have to sign little certifications that say, yes, we played the widget commercial 14 times this week, it'll matter and we'll take them. But right now, what you're saying, what other people are saying, is about 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,
see. Oh, I'm special. Oh, God. That makes my day. No. I thought that those, I thought you were running ads at the end of the hour at the bottom and the top of the news.
No, I mean, you know, we run stuff to let folks know about Concord University. We run stuff to let mm-hmm. people know about No Sweat. And, you know, we're part of the mm-hmm. partnership program. But right now, you know, I hope No Sweat will decide to drop a couple of advertising bucks on us, because we've been pretty good about yeah. putting their stuff out there for a while. I hope maybe they'll advertise over the Christmas season. And if they do, it's great. And if they don't, I still hope people will think about buying their clothing gifts for Christmas from No Sweat.
Absolutely. I was on their webpage quite a bit in the last couple, 3 weeks, and the information they have back in the publicity and their press releases and stuff, the background information on No Sweat is extremely interesting, and I just wanted to come on and one day after I had finished reading on their webpage to go in and look at them. Don't just listen to Agnes not buying Bob jeans. That ain't what it's about. No Sweat is phenomenal, and they have done such a good job. And I thought they were paid advertisers, and so maybe we need to encourage them. But people go in on No Sweat and spend some time reading, and they're excellent company.
Yeah, and if you know a young person going to college, and that young mm-hmm. person wants mm-hmm. a very, very good liberal arts education, take a look mm-hmm. at Concord University, Southern West mm-hmm. Virginia, a beautiful setting, beautiful campus. Excellent learning opportunity, and you know, reasonably affordable.
Mm-hmm.
it becomes very important. I think we just lost Kate. There we go. That's Kate. You know, the phone call lasted probably longer than any other call with Kate ever has. So, you know, the god of the microwaves or whatever must have thought that it was important for her to get that message out, and I'm glad she did. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. On your nickel, if you want to make the call that way, 304-658-5453. Either way gets through just fine. Agnes is sitting there waiting for your call. And like was the case with Kate, you know, they had to jaw a little bit before Kate could come on the air. And that's sometimes the noise that you hear in the background of the program. You'll hear, me. And that's because you're hearing Agnes answering the phone. Because we don't have a highfalutin broadcast booth built up yet where I sit in a little broadcaster cage.
Well, just hold
now,
on.
Now, the background noise behind Agnes now that sounds like a wind tunnel is the fan blowing through, and her mic is aimed right at it, so that's why that noise is coming in.
And I'm trying to windscreen it. But now, isn't our motto conversation radio?
Right.
Okay, and what are we doing?
I was having a conversation until Kate's phone died out.
Yeah, but I have a conversation before they get to you.
But that's not radio, dear. That's... Oh, I should just shut up, shouldn't I?
Yeah, that would be a good
okay,
idea.
Okay, turn off the wind tunnel, please, dear.
Yes, dear.
Thank you, dear. So anyway, you know, jump in with whatever, you know, whatever comes to mind for you. We'll hit the prayer meeting stories in the next hour, and some of them are horrifying, some of them are funny. But this story about, you know, I shared with you the quote from the Agence France-Presse account of Georgia's visit to the lower Ninth Ward today. And I can't believe that hideous man had the nerve to show his face there after everything that he and his administration have done and not done to make sure that the misery persisted and that the misery ramped up and the misery mounted up and the misery was not alleviated in the lower Ninth Ward. And frankly, I don't know. I guess it is a commendation of the spirit of goodwill that somehow manages to exist in the lower Ninth Ward, that thousands upon thousands of residents of the lower Ninth Ward did not come out and drive that man into the river. I think it's probably a little miracle. The rest of the AFP story talks about the attempt to, the photo op. You know, once again, remember September 11th when he went to the school in Florida and he read My Pet Goat and he had the little children read to him, yada, 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 yada. Well, he was at a school again today. He was at, I had it, now I've lost it. He spoke with former students at his side near the mostly empty bookcases in the library at the Martin Luther King Jr. Charter School for Science and Technology. The mostly empty library of. School art teacher Emily Prescott, who doubles as a grief counselor of sorts, says the memory project box made by school children was part of an effort to help the children overcome their grief and fear after the storm. She says that they still have children who cry at the first drop of rain. And then there's the other statement by Emily Prescott. She's 65 years old, retired as a psychologist with a specialization in child trauma in California. She came to New Orleans last year. She sold her house in Berkeley and just moved to New Orleans to try to do something good with her life. And she says the number one wish of the children is I wish that everyone could come back to New Orleans. They have a list, sort of, you know how you make a pro and con list when you're trying to figure out whether to do something. They've got a grief and loss side of the list, and a black crayon drawing of the Superdome shows refugees heading there and the roof blowing away, and there are modeling clay figures begging to be rescued from the top of a paper house. A blackboard on a short easel shows some of the results of her attempt at grief counseling. Including what the article calls the grim toll of the storm. And that grim toll says these words: desperate, angry, helpless, hungry, homeless. On the more hopeful side, the children say that they're wishing for what they're looking for: stronger levees, taller levees, better playground, nicer, happier people, rebuild houses. And here's one: if you read it and something doesn't happen inside your tear ducts, you're a lot tougher than I am. Grandma back. Grandma back. Grandma back. So I guess the stern and starchy and tougher than we even begin to imagine them to be people of the lower Ninth Ward and New Orleans in general are to be applauded for not driving George W. Bush into the Mississippi River today in a mob maybe 10 or 15,000 strong that no number of Blackwater security guards or Secret Service personnel could ever even begin to deal with. They are to be commended for not doing that. There stood the central figure in their agony, and yet they permitted him to stand there and to say to them, New Orleans, better days are ahead. Hurricane Katrina broke through the levees. It broke a lot of hearts. It destroyed buildings, but it didn't affect the spirit of a lot of citizens in this community. See, they're not even people to George Bush anymore. They're citizens. Citizens, I have come to speak to you. The school is newly reopened after it had been submerged in 18 feet of water. It sits in the lower Ninth Ward. Bush, under heavy fire from Democrats, sharply critical of the pace of reconstruction, acknowledged deep local doubts about Washington's commitment to reviving New Orleans. A lot of people down here probably wondered whether or not those of us in the federal government, not from Louisiana, would pay attention to Louisiana or Mississippi. Now, actually, George, a lot of people wondered whether a bunch of godless, soulless, motherless, dead-from-the-neck-up Republicans would give a damn about the people of Louisiana and Mississippi. And in wondering, a lot of people certainly learned that lesson. What was it Kanye West said? George Bush don't care about black people. You know what? Kanye West was right. All this smarmy, touchy-feely garbage that he does, I hope people understand we do. We're still paying attention. We understand. No. See, that kind of semantic tomfoolery doesn't work anymore. We don't give a damn if he understands. The American people don't want his understanding. The American people want his action. And he has no intention of doing anything, because his eyes are focused on the prize, baby, and that prize is another $50 billion to flush down the great big bloody Iraqi toilet. So what if he had another photo opportunity in New Orleans today? So what? The news is that he says he still doesn't have enough money to kill Iraq once and for all. Another $50 billion, he says he wants. That is the news. That is the news. The news is the $50 billion. The news is his trotting out of Iran could cause a nuclear holocaust. Did you catch that one, too? There's the news. And it only took me 2 hours to get to it. We'll come back with more. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
In my mind, I still need a place to go. All my changes were there. Blue, blue windows behind the stars.
Eaten.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have released 12 of the 19 missionaries taken hostage 6 weeks ago. The release comes after a promise from Seoul to withdraw troops and cease missionary activity. The remaining hostages are expected to be released by tomorrow. Radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has suspended actions of his Mahdi army for 6 months and has claimed they will no longer attack U.S. and coalition forces. According to a Sadr aide, the anti-American cleric wants to reorganize the Mahdi army and rehabilitate it after breaking into factions. Coalition forces killed more than 100 Afghani militants today following an attack on a coalition envoy in Kandahar. One Afghan soldier was killed and 6 others wounded. There were no reports of civilian casualties. Also in Afghanistan, a suicide bomber attacked a bridge under construction in an eastern province, killing 3 U.S. soldiers. 6 other American troops were wounded. President Bush is in the Gulf Coast region today, marking the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The president visited a charter school in New Orleans, where he said better days are ahead. He will also visit Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, while in the region. The former Prime Minister of Pakistan said that Pervez Musharraf will step down as head of the military before the next presidential election. Officials say the decision is a significant step forward in a power-sharing deal with Pakistan's opposition government. Greek firefighters announced today that they have gained control over wildfires that have killed 63 people in recent days. The government has been hit with accusations of incompetence for their handling of the situation. After detaining them in a central Baghdad hotel last night, U.S. troops this morning released 8 captive Iranians, turning them over to Iraqi authorities. The U.S. said they were arrested for carrying guns without the necessary permits. The Washington Post reports President Bush is poised to ask Congress for another $50 billion to fund the Iraq War. Congress has thus far allocated $607 billion for the 2008 Pentagon budget. An internal Army investigation faults trainers at Fort Hood, Texas, for the June death of an Iraq War veteran during maneuvers. Two dozen other soldiers were hospitalized during the grueling training exercises. Eight trainers may face criminal charges. In Idaho, a wildfire is roaring toward Sun Valley Ski Resort, fed by high winds and soaring temperatures. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have four convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our four branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's a major but not unexpected development. The deadly bird flu has mutated so it can be passed on from person to person. The UN has long predicted a devastating international pandemic. Researchers at NOAA are blaming human activity as the biggest reason for record-breaking warm temperatures last year in 48 states. NASA today will release its internal investigation into reports astronauts were intoxicated before launches. Officials say they are optimistic the report will indicate the problem was minor. The College Board says math and reading SAT scores this year were the lowest in 8 years. The board attributes the poor high school senior scores to a more diverse group of test takers. The test was changed 2 years ago. Pharmacy benefits manager Medco will acquire diabetes specialist PolyMedica for $1.2 billion. The deal is expected to increase Medco's diabetic client base by 1 million customers. Share of Dillard's department store chain fell 3.5% after it announced a quarterly loss of more than $25 million. The Arkansas-based company noted a drop in sales. Light sweet crude is trading at $73.55 a barrel. Gold is trading at $674.40 an ounce. Wall Street has rebounded today. The Dow is up 174 points. NASDAQ up 41. S&P 500 up 20. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Reed Kavner.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All right, 7 past the hour. I'm Bob. And I really do want to get to a couple of these stories this evening because it's prayer meeting, and you can't get much more prayer meeting than these stories. Let's go to the phones right now, though. Susan's calling from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Hanging in there. I just wanted to know if you saw that Reuters article about what Edwards proposed for, he called it a Brownie Law.
Help me here. I've seen a lot today, but
okay,
maybe not.
He said at a Hurricane Katrina conference, he would propose what he called Brownie's Law, requiring that qualified people, not political hacks, be key federal agencies. And that's a direct quote.
That's a good idea. But, of course, one of the things we're finding out, Brownie was incompetent, okay? But it's abundantly clear now that in many ways the dime was dropped on Brownie. I think it's a little...
It was done deliberately.
Yeah, sure it was. But the other thing is, and something we need to pay attention to, especially because of the way his name is being bandied about these days, Susan, is Michael Skeletor Chertoff. Okay?
You got it.
This guy was the one who really neglected New Orleans. okay, and really neglected the Gulf Coast. And I mean, yeah, kind of sleazy Rice went shopping for some new Ferragamo shoes and went to see Spamalot on Broadway. But Michael Chertoff was sitting there and did not give a tinker's damn about what was going on. And it was his baby, and that's why they crucified Brownie.
Yeah, because somebody had to go under the bus.
Yeah, and now they're talking, and now the talk is, you know, whatever the political prattling class in Washington or what have you is talking about Chertoff as a possible replacement for Fredo Gonzalez.
Oh, they're going to be held to pay if the Democrats let that go through.
Well, you don't actually think the Democrats would stop it, do you, Susan?
Oh God, I'm praying they will. I'm not holding out much hope, but I'm praying.
I think the White House has probably got better sense than to nominate him, though. So, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for Orrin Hatch to be nominated.
Or, you know, somebody along the same lines.
Somebody from somewhere that they know that the Senate seat is safe, even if they do appoint a member of the Senate. But, yeah, I've seen Joe Lieberman's name dropped.
Yeah.
But yeah. from the moment you know, we were on the road to the doctor's office in Morgantown Monday when the Fredo Gonzalez story broke, and from that moment forward, all the babble was, and it is expected that Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff will be elevated to the Attorney General position.
I really doubt it.
Well, do you actually think that there are enough Senate Democrats in the Senate Judiciary Committee with enough starch, shall we say, to point out the fact that here on the and see, that's probably why the announcement hasn't been made, Susan. You know, there's a lot of,
because he's the guy who sat there and with the pictures of the broken levees and did nothing. And didn't pass on the information.
And said New Orleans was a state. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Said, I forget what the direct quote was, but he said New Orleans was a state. But the reason there's an interim AG named for the time being is because the Bush administration has to let the Katrina anniversary slide by.
Yeah.
And hopefully, you know, maybe another Republican congressman will be caught in another toilet somewhere and turn things in that direction.
I kind of wonder, with the legs that this scandal is having, I kind of wonder, since this particular bathroom is known on the net to have been A, good trysting place, and B, stay away from it, guys, the cops are onto it. I kind of wonder if somebody in the administration didn't drop the dime.
I don't know. They're certainly not coming out and talking about what a wonderful guy he is. So far, we've managed not to say his name. I'm proud of
putting on my tinfoil hat here. Because, you know, what's better to keep people's minds off things like Katrina and Skeletor than a juicy sex scandal?
Sure. And weren't there some things that needed paying attention to during the Mark Foley scandal?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, these things have a way of working out in favor of the Bush administration, and you know here, but they absolutely cannot nominate Chertoff to the Attorney General's position as long as we are marking the anniversary of Katrina. It'll be 2-3 weeks, maybe a month, before Chertoff is actually nominated. Which tells me that there must have been... No, I wouldn't be surprised in the least, because that's the safest nomination. Because if they nominate Lieberman, or if they nominate Sacred Underwear Guy, Hatch. If they nominate either one of those, they make the balance of power in the Senate even more dicey, especially if it's Lieberman. Because then the government...
Yeah, especially if... I don't expect Lieberman to get it, no. Because you're not going to give a plum post to Lieberman.
So Chertoff is the easy default choice.
But they might give it to Hatch because, you know, let's face it, the governor is going to appoint another Republican.
That's my point. So
they might give it to Hatch. He's a good soldier. He's a good German.
Well, I just I don't know how far these people are playing chess now that they've gone into bunker mentality. But this would have been the time to do it. Get Fredo to step down and then bang, recess appointment of whoever they chose. See, we're not out of the woods until Congress comes back into session.
Exactly.
Now, when is that?
That's my big scare, is a recess appointment.
When is that? When does Congress come back in session? Do you know?
Oh, Lord. I can't remember my kids' states, let alone anything else.
Okay. Well, that's a question worth getting answered. You know, in other words, how long do we have to hold our breath? Because we keep talking about what a lame duck President Bush is, but he's not. He's not acting like one. He's acting like a dictator. And he does as he pleases and leaves it to the Democrats to lump it and swallow it or dare to do something about it. And so far, we haven't dared to do anything.
No. He is a dictator for all intents and purposes.
Okay. September 5th, Congress comes back into session.
Okay.
So that means we've got 7 days.
All right. Hang in there.
Yeah.
Just like the
horror movie, 7 days.
7 days in August instead of 7 days in May. Or 7 days in September, I should say.
Yeah, two in August and five in September. It's getting to be a complicated movie title.
Yeah, I've got another reason I called.
Okay.
ELO put this up, but you mentioned it also. White spanking 108.
Well, see, that's one of that's one of those prayer meeting stories that I've got waiting.
Oh, my God.
And that's not wife spanking. That is Christian domestic discipline.
It's wife beating.
It's not beating if she consents.
Uh huh. Right.
Got to learn how these creepy people think.
Beats the crap out of her.
Now this comes via a blog called Feministing. And the first thing I did is I ran off to Snopes. Because once bitten, twice shy.
Yeah.
And I typed Christian domestic discipline into the search bar at Snopes, and so far, no entries. I also dug a little bit further in, and I got the name of one of the people who is apparently involved in it. At one time, this ChristianDomesticDiscipline.org or whatever the website is, you could just go there. Now you've got to have admin privileges, and you've got to have a username and password.
Yeah, I cruised it when it was still open, and it's appalling.
I'm sure it is. I went and found excerpts from one of these women getting spanked for Jesus. I found excerpts from one of her books of short stories.
Uh-huh.
Ew.
It's S&M porn.
It's Christian. I'm sorry. It is right-wing religion industry porn.
It's still S&M. It's wife beatings, pure and simple. And I'm sure the guy probably gets his rocks off while he's doing it.
Guy? This woman is publishing, I mean...
And I'm sure she probably gets her rocks off, too. You got to have... If you're going to consent to this, it's probably really sick.
Stories... I found it at Google Reader. You can find this woman. Her name's Leah Kelly, I think. Leah Kelly, K-E-L-L-E-Y.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can find her at Amazon, but I found excerpts on Google Reader. And apparently, it's just a tease, so that you know you don't get to the juicy parts. but there's enough there to let you know where it's going.
Yeah, and did you notice the quality of the writing?
Well, sure. It called to mind the comment of Truman Capote upon reading Jack Kerouac's On the Road. This isn't writing, this is typing.
I call it schlock.
I call it typing with one hand.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's bad. It's lousy porn is what it is. But the whole Christian bit, I don't care about the religious bit. My hubby ever laid a hand on me in anger, he'd find a shiz stuck between his third, fourth ribs.
Well, you know, the 32nd chapter of Flip-Floppians, or maybe, I don't know, but says, wives submit unto your husbands. You'd be surprised the number of right-wing religion industry adherents and Southern Baptist Convention followers and so forth that think that that's, you know, that means,
yeah.
That means it's okay to whoop your wife.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you delve into this stuff, you'll find comments about the demonic forces of feminism.
Oh, good God!
Who have taken women away from their proper submissive roles inside a Bible-based, Bible-believing, Christ-centered marriage?
I left those ideas. I prefer to leave them where they belong. In the 12th century. All these women need is a burqa. And you wouldn't be able to tell them from a woman in downtown Iran.
Well, and there's the truth of it. That's what I've said this time and again, that if you actually sat down a religion industry fundamentalist with Osama bin Laden, served him up some tea, and let him talk about what they've got in common and what their differences are, they'd probably wind up great friends. That's why I started with that song, that fundamentalist song, The Ecumenical Movement.
Uh-huh.
Because those are actually the people who can sit down and find common ground. You know, Brother Dobson says, no gambling. Osama says, no gambling. Brother Dobson says, no drinking. Osama says, no drinking. Dobson says, subservient women. Osama says, always subservient women. Have you heard about the burqa? And he tells Dobson about the burqa, and he goes, cool.
Yeah.
Got a point there.
I call them the American Taliban.
Well.
And to me, that's what they are.
Yeah. Fundamentalists of all stripe.
To the 12th century.
Fundamentalists of all stripe. We are engaged in a war between the forces of taste great and less filling.
And they all want to live in the 12th century.
Yep. Susan, thank you so much, dear.
I'm sorry I ain't going to do it.
Don't want you to.
You.
Talk to you later.
Okay, you have a nice night.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And Luke, calling from near Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke, welcome aboard. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
I almost want to talk about Senator Craig. But
we're not saying his name tonight. We're not
shooting fish in a barrel.
We are not saying his name tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I haven't been listening tonight. I apologize. We had a thunderstorm here. Hallelujah.
If it had rain in it, good, you know.
Well, it had some, but like I say, I go outside right now, you couldn't prove it. But, you know, that's just the way life goes.
Oh, just a bunch of frogs and locusts laying around on the ground.
Yeah, we're waiting to see how far into the end of the curses we get. Plague, excuse me. Oh, no, let's get into Katrina, because like I say, this is an anniversary, so we ought to touch on it. The things I'm loving with all this is, let's see, is all the fun little things we seem to forget. I was sitting watching some of this stuff tonight. Let's see now. We forgot the fact that when all this happened, people sent stuff, and FEMA said, take it back. We don't need it. I still remember the bags of ice that traveled all over the U.S.
Yeah.
Having a wonderful time. And, I mean, I know some of these things for some of these charities. You know, people sent stuff, and they got them down to a point, and then the National Guard people were out there going, no, turn around. We don't want it. Take it back. You know, that's what FEMA told them.
Yeah, ice.
I mean, just to remember, this is also the same White House that lied when they said, oh, Miss Governor Blanco didn't ask for any help. They had to end up putting the pages up on their website to show where they'd sent the official forms.
Because there is a well-established mercilessly regimented right-wing hate radio machine out there that will just tell lies like that.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember when that first happened. You know what I mean? When it first happened, because I remember them all going, oh, she didn't ask for help. It's like saying they had to literally put it up on the Louisiana State website, you know, State House website, whatever it is, and, you know, and say, here's what we sent. You know, put the photocopies up on it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing most people also forget is, you know, with all the damage, if it hadn't been for the levees, New Orleans would not have been, they would have had damage. You know, I mean, no doubt of that. But if it hadn't been for the levees, New Orleans' damage would not have been that bad.
That's why it's unfair to refer to what happened to New Orleans being a function of Katrina. What happened to the Gulf Coast and Mississippi is a function of Katrina.
Yeah, that's where the storm hit. I mean, that, you know, that's where the eye hit. But like I say, I was listening tonight. They had Harry Shearer was on Overman's show, and he brought up the thing that most people forget too, is the big problem down there. You had to get the levees fixed, but the thing down there is all the damage is being done to the wetlands. That's kind of the slow motion damage that keeps on going.
Yeah.
That somewhere down the line it's going to hit us again. You know, and they were talking tonight. You know, said I wonder if anybody will write about it. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on in Mississippi now that apparently Governor Barbour has some relatives who apparently are playing Halliburton because they're getting some contracts.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, even if you go even further east, Luke, over to Mobile, I've mentioned on this program on a number of occasions, I have a sister and brother-in-law who live in Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And they live on what qualifies in that part of the world as high ground. I think they're 58 feet above mean sea level.
Yeah.
They just got, and I'm not giving out any names or anything, so I'm not, you know, invading their privacy, but they just got a note from their homeowner's carrier saying that their homeowner's policy had been increased by $1,500 a year. Pay it now, or you don't have no homeowner's insurance no more.
I tell you, that's something I think that the Congress is going to really have to get into, is all this stuff with the regulation of insurance companies. Because all this stuff like, well, you can't count that. That was wind damage.
Well, there is that.
We can't separate it all out. That was storm damage.
You know, I'm the last guy in the world who is going to defend an insurance company.
Yeah.
But if you go on down to the, you know, the seashore, the Gulf Coast, literally, and my favorite little beach on God's sweet little blue-green time machine, which is Gulf Shores and Orange Beach and Perdido Key, Alabama.
Okay.
And it extends over toward, you know, into Louisiana. It is a phenomenon along the Gulf Coast. Barrier islands form. And, of course, they formed off of the Carolina coast as well because they're all storm-battered.
Yeah.
And those barrier islands act when they don't have, you know, 15-story condominiums slammed one up against the other. They act as a stopping agent for a breakwater for those storm surges.
Mm-hmm.
That's why
you know, you have all the stuff over. Most people don't understand about the stuff over at North Carolina, where you have all the around Cape Hatteras and all that. You know, those islands out there have another function besides just a nice place to drive on.
Right.
You know, if it wasn't for them, the shoreline would take a whole lot more damage.
But if you go down there now and if you do a before and after or a then and now sort of photographic look at one of those barrier islands, whether it's Gulf Shores, Alabama, or Dauphin Island, or any of the islands in the Gulf Islands National Seashore off of the Mississippi coast, especially because Alabama didn't regulate and didn't try to protect those barrier islands, you literally have one after another, just square box, uglier than hell, 15-story condominium high-rises that were built on the beach, but they were built, you know, a ways back from the tidal levels.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? The tidal level is up to the building now, because by virtue of that building being there, the natural wash in and wash out that formed that beach over millions of years can't happen anymore.
You know, and it's like I say, it's some of these people down there that want to build all this stuff for recreation. It's like, okay, that's fine if you want to build for recreation, but you got to go out there and, like I say, I don't care if you have to build an artificial breakwater or whatever. You know, it's kind of a package deal. You want this, that's fine, but you got to put this in first, or what's the purpose of putting this up? Because, like you say, the next storm, it's just going to wash it part of it away. You know.
So I can't help wondering why an insurance company ever wrote a homeowner's policy on the Gulf Coast in the first place.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. I think the Congress is going to have to go into where, you know, some of these people are trying to pull out of some of the Gulf states and essentially tell them, look, you all want to do business? That's fine. You're going to have to give them this, and you know.
Well, sadly, though, Luke, insurance is an issue. It's one of those that's managed state by state by state. For instance, here in West Virginia, a few years back, without so much as a kiss my butt, the legislature and the governor here, both democratically controlled, took away our right to sue an insurance company for failing to deal with us in good faith. Up until that time, we had bullets in the gun. And if an insurance company was dealing with you and dragging it out and trying to wait you out, you had a separate, entirely separate suit you could file against them for bad faith. That never has happened in Alabama.
No,
or Mississippi.
I mean, that's one of the things where somebody like a John Edwards, who's running, you know, I don't know, I haven't been to his website, I'll be honest. I haven't, you know, got into it too much this year yet. But, you know, that's one of these things where we got to start questioning these candidates. You know, what are you going to do about this? You know, do we need a national overview, you know what I mean, of insurance? You know, what they should be protecting, what they should be told they have to protect. You know, it's like, you know, we have to have some consumer protections. It's like, guys, you know, If you're going to do it for some of us, you got to make sense of this, so it makes sense for everybody, not just the people you want it to.
Well, the problem is, especially in southern states, the insurance commissioner's office is a paper tiger at best. It's more like a paper neutered tomcat.
About like the FEC or the FCC.
Yeah, it
sounds real good, but they can't do squat.
The insurance commissioner is not elected, but appointed, and the insurance commissioner is routinely, without fail, a creature of the insurance industry itself.
Yeah.
And will not be a watchdog and will not regulate and will and we've traded for that here in West Virginia as well. And it's a crime, because when you get, you should have some recourse. You know, if you haven't made a claim against your insurance for 15 or 20 years, but they say, "Oh, it's going to be another $1,500 now." No, you should be able to sue over that. But every time we've tried to do that, the United States Chamber of Commerce comes out and says, you know, fill in state's name here, is a judicial hellhole.
I tell you. Oh, you were talking a minute ago about Brownie.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've always noticed about, especially about W now, and maybe not as much when he first started, was, you know, W loves loyalty as long as you're the one being loyal to him. When you can't do nothing for W no more, who are you?
You're nobody.
That's what I'm going to say. When he finds out he can't get nothing out of you, well, I'm sorry, I won't be returning that phone call.
And it's nothing new. That's nothing to be shocked at. This is the way the Bush family deals with its little creatures. The best example probably is not Saddam Hussein, but Manuel Noriega. He was a Bush family creature. He was a CIA operative. He was an inside dealer inside the Bush power plan, power structure in Central America during the Reagan-Bush years. And when they decided that he had outlived his usefulness and grown too big for his pants, or maybe was going to drop the dime on Bush, well, we had a little war, didn't we?
Well, I don't know. I almost think you almost have to put Saddam in the same category, because, you know, just remember, you know, we had Rummy go over there and shake Saddam's hand. He was doing a good job for us when he was poisoning people.
Yeah, heck of a job, Saddam.
Well, and just remember, Saddam, you know, before the invasion of Kuwait, April Gladsby.
Yep.
That's the lady. You know, well, we won't say anything if you just happen to go into Kuwait. It's like,
the United States takes no position on Arab conflicts. Yep, the Gladsby memo.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like I say, W is very loyal to you as long as you can do something for him. If you can't do something for him, well, you're out the door. Don't let the door hit you, or the good Lord split you.
And God forbid that you should have a little dirt on a Bush.
Oh, Lord.
Then you wind up at the end of a rope, or you end up in prison. You noticed where Noriega is supposed to get out of American prison. And suddenly, you know, we may call them cheese-eating surrender monkeys, but we're more than happy to cooperate when it comes to sending Manuel Noriega to do 10 big in some French prison.
Oh, yeah. It's like, but it's like, you know, what is it? We'll get our own version of Con Air. Come on, we'll stick him on the plane.
That's exactly
we'll
it.
We'll get one of them little old Lear jets or something. We'll fly his ass over there.
The original meaning of Air America.
They'd shoot him over there if they thought they could get away with it. I'm surprised they ain't loading him in one of them Predator drones just flying. Take him straight up, straight down. But I tell you what the fun part's been today. I've been off this week. I'm on vacation. Hallelujah, be praised. But I was sitting here watching this, and it was just so funny watching Senator Tap Tap.
Senator Footwork. That would be Senator Footwork.
Oh, okay.
Senator Wide Stance.
Okay. But sitting here watching, like I say, I watched Beck, and I watched Brett Humes, and I watched Tucker Carlson. It is amazing to watch the absolute, contortions that these people went through. and not defending him, but not damning him either. You know what I mean? It's one of those things. It's like, yeah,
Well, my only mention of it was to note that during his announcement yesterday, the first words out of his mouth, really, 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 oh, honest to God, were, "I want to thank you all for coming out today."
Well, the fun part now, well, like I said, the fun part I got out of it was when he tried to blame the Idaho Statesman, or the state, I don't know if it's an Idaho Statesman, but the Statesman, the paper of record in their state. You know what I mean? That he was trying to say this was all a smear campaign by them, and they, you know, when they come out and you've heard people the last day or two say, you know, they didn't publish it. You know, everybody knew pretty much, I think, the word they're talking. Everybody knows he's gay.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, that's kind of an open secret. But they hadn't been printing anything on it until he pled guilty. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Tap Tap, but when you say I did it, why do you act surprised when people say you did it?
Well, you know, because I've mentioned it on a number of occasions, that one of my favorite books is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at the end of that wonderful book, the sheriff looks at Atticus and says, "I don't care what you say, Bob Ewell fell on his knife." And, you know, around here the running gag is Bob Ewell fell on his knife 32 times.
32 times. And three of them in his back. Yep,
and it's really the same thing with Senator Footwork. He's not gay. He just keeps falling on penises.
It's amazing how he just manages to turn up in these places just at the exact same time. You know, like I say, the fun parts now is going to be watching, you know, Senator McChinless, and, you know, and like I say, his the person he was working for, Say Anything Romney.
Yeah.
And just see how quick they, you know, it looks like they've already decided to burn the bridges. So, you know, like I say, it's just going to be interesting to see, you know, how fast they throw him under the bus and back it up and peel out three or four times.
Yeah, it's the old joke about what's the difference between a dead Republican in the middle of the road and a dead skunk in the middle of the road? Skid marks in front of skid marks in front of the skunk.
Oh.
Oh,
like I say, it's one of those things. It's like the old saying, you know, I drove over it and I backed up, drove over it again just to make sure I got it right the first time.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Luke, you have a good evening, and you know, enjoy your vacation, my friend.
I will try. All right, y'all have a good evening.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
So, let's see, 27 or so minutes before the hour, a little bit of time left, and I really do want to hit a couple of these because they've got, you know, "Share me, Bob," written all over them. You remember when we talked a couple of weeks ago about the plan to send Left Behind: Eternal Farces, the video game, to troops? Well, you know, we won that round because the Defense Department absolutely had to pull it, so it's not going to happen. But things like the Left Behind series, and little, you know, airbrushed front bumper plates with crosses and pictures of Jesus on it, and the airbrush artist down in the South, he'll put, you know, Jimmy Bob and Bobby Lou, you know, and the picture of Calvary. And I mean, you know, if you've been, you've seen. We merchandise Jesus. Not we. Not me. I don't. But the merchandising of Jesus is the whole reason that, to sort of bring this thing full circle, the merchandising of Jesus is the reason that Jerry Falwell can wind up with his family, his heirs, assigns, and beneficiaries forever, can wind up cashing in on an insurance policy to the tune of $34 million. This isn't religion, this is marketing. Whether it's the albums that Tammy Faye Baker sold back in the days of PTL, or prayer hankies, or the latest book from Robert Schuller or Billy Graham, that's the hustle, is making Jesus a marketing tool. I think I've mentioned before that when I travel around down in the Kanawha Valley and I listen to right-wing hate radio, because it's all there is, not like there's an Air America affiliate or a Nova M affiliate in Charleston. Wish there was. But you drive and you hear, "Hi, I am Billy Joe Bob Schmedlock, and I am a certified investment planner. Call me for your Christian investment needs. I will make sure that your money is not invested in anything ungodly, and you can have a Christ-centered, I kid you not, Christ-centered investment plan." It's the marketing of it's the marketing of a murder victim. And it's sickening, and it's horrifying. And it is a function of American social life. No matter how hard you try to get away with it or get away from it, you can't get away from it. So that the idea, from the left behind series to the front bumper plates to Christ-centered Bible believing investment plans, is to use Jesus to make money. And it is so ingrained in our cultural thinking that we can't imagine religion not being used as a money-making medium. So that you wind up with a screw-up like this. And, of course, it's coming out not from American media. No. This has to come from the Aussies. News.com.au. U.S. military. Oh, boy. I wish I was making this up. I really do. U.S. military regrets blasphemous balls. Mm-hmm. So somewhere in the Hearts and Minds Department of United States Headquarters Commands South Asia, there's some guy who has an officer's commission whose job is to come up with really groovy things that we can do for the Afghans that we haven't managed to kill yet. These are the same people who painted the aid packages that we dropped from planes the same color as the bomblets from the cluster bombs. The gang, in other words, that can't shoot straight. The U.S. military in Afghanistan has expressed regret over a campaign aimed at winning hearts and minds, but which turns out to have offended a whole bunch of good Muslims. And I don't want to hear the religion industry fundamentalists going, "See, they're unreasonable. Look at that. You publish a little old cartoon with a picture of Mohammed with a bomb on the top of his head and it says Quran across it and it's a burning, and they just go crazy and start burning stuff down because they're crazy. Because they don't like people showing cartoons of Muhammad with bombs in their turban." Insane people. These are the same people who ran a man out of town for doing a chocolate Jesus last Easter. So what it was is, okay, quick, everybody, whether you like sports or not, you probably know the answer to this question. What is the number one sport in the whole confounded world? We call it soccer. The rest of the world calls it football. So one of those Hearts and Minds dudes in the Pentagon said, "Hey, Chief, I got an idea. Let's give all the Afghans soccer balls to kick." Okay. Hey, that's a good idea, Major. I mean, I read this story, and I'm convinced that the Pentagon is actually being run by the two characters from MASH. What? Frank Burns and Colonel Flagg. Okay, we're going to give them some soccer balls. All right. Well, U.S. troops this past Friday dropped dozens of free soccer balls for soccer-mad Afghan children from helicopters in an area of southeastern Afghanistan. And, of course, the soccer balls had flags of various countries. It's a small world after all. You know. There was only one problem. One of the flags that was depicted on the soccer ball had the Saudi Arabian flag on it. The Saudi Arabian flag, in turn, features the Islamic Declaration of Faith. What is it? There is no name, there is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet. There is no Allah but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. So here you are with a soccer ball with the names Allah and Muhammad on it. And Fawad Ahmad, a shopkeeper in Kabul, said, Americans themselves create insecurity by ignoring religious sensitivity. It is against Islam. Now, I don't pretend to understand why it's not against Islam to have it written on a flag, but I sure do understand, because I know fundamentalist fake phony Christians who would no sooner kick a football or a soccer ball with Jesus is Lord on it. I can't be kicking Jesus' name. What are you thinking? But yeah, the U.S. military did that. Now, because I'm a little bit crazy, do you think the U.S. military would have done that if maybe one of the Arabic translators that got canned for not having sex the way the military wants them to have sex was there to go, guys, you know, this has the Islamic Declaration of Faith on it. It says there's no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet. And I don't think it's going to be a good idea to ask Afghans to kick Muhammad's name or the name of Allah. Yeah, shut up. You're gay. I'd expect something like that from you. You're out of the military. A spokeswoman for the U.S. military in Afghanistan said the ball distribution was part of a goodwill humanitarian aid mission for the enjoyment of Afghan children. Captain Vanessa Bowman said the military had been unaware of the sensitivity issue. That we were unaware. We're the American military. We do bullets and blood and bombs. We don't do sensitivity very well. We do regret any disturbances it caused. Because, see, what they were trying to do was get over a little problem they were having that stemmed from rising anger over the deaths of more than 350 civilians this year caused by Western troops. Mostly in southern and eastern areas where they were dropping the soccer balls. I hope you feel better about those babies we slaughtered. Here, kick God's name for a while. Maybe that'll make you feel better. There ain't enough booze on planet Earth to make whoever came up with this idea. I'm sorry, I was very drunk at the time. You know, we know. I mean, just taking the case in the light most favorable to the military, we know. These people are very, very serious about their superstition, their religion, whatever you want to call it. And this is America, where our number one amendment is the right to believe in whatever invisible critter you want to believe in. We're all about believing in invisible stuff. And we know that they did. They rioted and they burnt buildings over disgusting little depictions of Muhammad that were deliberately put out there to poke these religiously insane people with sharp sticks. And so we're going to take the religiously insane people who are seething over the slaughter of 350 civilians and give him a soccer ball with the name of Allah on it to kick around for a while. Well, you won't have Allah to kick around anymore. Jesus! It's amazing. And George W. Bush wants 50 billion more to do this kind of crap. Yeah, I feel like Jed Clampett sometimes. Yeah, one of these days I got to have a long talk with that boy. Let's go to the phones and talk to Michelle. Hey, Michelle, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what the hey? Talk to me. I called you because you brought up a subject that when I saw it last weekend, I thought of you and Agnes. I'm in San Diego taking my daughter. She's going to camp, right?
Yeah.
And we walk into this shop. It's in Old Town San Diego. You know, it's the settlement area, historic, meaning really where a lot of Mexico was. Anyway, I walk into the shop, Bob. You're talking about, you know, purchasing Jesus items.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I look over, and there's this item. It's called Jesus Finger Puppet.
No.
And I'm like, finger puppets. And every one of them looked the same. Little Jesus. Five of them. Which really, you only have four fingers, right? But, so I asked the guy that owned the shop, I said, this is a joke, right? And he seemed a little bit offended. He goes, no, that's one of those items, those type of items are my best sellers. And when you were talking about just selling these, I mean, really, I thought of it and I couldn't help but think of, you know, here's Bush. Well, he speaks to me. And here's Bush with his finger puppet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be president.
Where does, you on know. The Jesus finger puppet, where does your finger go?
I knew you'd get that one.
Mm.
Yeah, up his dress, his his robe. Can't you see Bush playing with?
Boy, I tell you what, it sure does give a whole new definition to the idea of being a fundamentalist, doesn't it?
Well, and then
finger right up the fundament.
Yeah. Well,
it's the Jesus Christ prostate exam.
We're supposed to be serious about this. This is taking it too far. But then you have the crosses, right, Bob? I mean, there's a lot of Catholics, and they've got their candles, and they have those. Every time I see the cross, it's garish. It's big. And all I can think of is, man, you know, can you imagine how many women buy that as a weapon? You know, it's like.
Well, I got
when he's sleeping.
I got one for you, too. And this is not, you know, it's not something from The Onion. It's not a joke. It's not. No, it's real, real, real. There are Jesus action figures out there sold to the fundamentalist, Michelle. Really, really. I mean, sit down. I saw a Jesus action figure that had a golden crown of thorns, and he was holding out his hands with a dove in his palm, and he was wearing the current battle dress fatigues of the United States military. And he had his robe thrown over him, kind of the way Hamid Karzai wears that robe of his.
Yeah.
No kidding. Jesus dressed in the uniform of the United States military.
So what do the kids do when they pretend? You know, it's like with the little soldiers. Do they have a whole bunch of little Jesuses and then maybe go out and get a whole bunch of Muhammads, maybe a Buddha? I mean, how do they do
collect
this?
The whole set? I don't know. I would no sooner when my parents would not have allowed it, and two, my little five-year-old mentality would have gone, I'm not going to play with Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is not a toy.
No.
I mean, if you take your faith seriously, I mean, I'm not talking about idolatry. I'm talking about just straight up, you know, if you believe that that person died for the sins of all of humanity, and he did so in a miserable, gory, horrifying way, and that after he was dead, he went to hell for 3 days for everybody, and that, to, you know, some say he's still there yet, you know, because we keep sinning, blah, 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 blah. How can you sit there and go, hey, Timmy, here's your new Jesus doll. Ah! You know, no.
Well, here, Here's your new finger puppet. Stick your finger up the robe.
I don't know. Maybe it's maybe it's designed to make the little boys more acquiescent when the priest does it to them.
There you go. Well, that's it, you know. And it's 53.
There is a purpose to everything under heaven, Michelle.
Hey, we have to condition them. At least, what is 60 million they paid off here in California?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, and that was right there in your neck of the woods, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Father Mahoney or something.
Yep, Father Mahoney.
Yeah. Well, all right, I'm going to let you close out, and I love you all. And
we love you too, Michelle.
With you. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. I'm just glad you didn't buy any.
No.
I would be scarred for life if that showed up in the mailbox.
Well, the guy at the shop just kind of like, well, they're our best-selling items.
Oh.
Of course, I just walked out of his shop. Alrighty.
All right. Take care, Michelle. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Well, they're our best-selling items. You mean besides the Xanax and the antipsychotics, you got it? Oh, my God. Jesus finger puppets.
That's just wrong.
Timmy, where's your finger? Up, Jesus. No, just leave it alone before it gets more scary. And I've still got more prayer meeting stuff. But you had to know about the soccer balls. What happens, you know, I mean, these are leather soccer balls. What happens if some of the paint rubs off? Oh, my God, the word Allah has disappeared. Now it says there's nothing, there is no nothing but nothing in Muhammad. Oh, the ultimate existentialism. No, what's that? The original manifestation of that is there is no God and Woody Allen is his prophet. I better quit while I'm ahead. Thanks, everybody. Please, as you leave the sanctuary this evening, don't forget to drop a little something in the collection box. I mean, it wouldn't be a religious service if I didn't, you know, pass the plate. But thanks, everybody, for joining in, for chatting in the chat rooms, for sending email, for making phone calls, for sitting there and screaming at your speakers. Because sometimes the screaming is good. Sometimes it's what keeps one from spontaneously combusting. Welcome home from vacation, Ben Birch. As the old punchline to the joke goes, coffee breaks over, back on your head. And many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who a long time ago now helped us get this network started, and in doing so are helping us to save the American dream. And always, 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 Gina, RMR, it's all for you.
man, that gives me chills.
Eaton.
This is the Quality News Network. In Afghanistan, Taliban militants have released 12 of the 19 missionaries taken hostage 6 weeks ago. The release comes after a promise from Seoul to withdraw troops and cease missionary activity. The remaining hostages are expected to be released by tomorrow. Radical Shiite cleric Muqtada al-Sadr has suspended actions of his Mahdi army for 6 months and has claimed they will no longer attack U.S. and coalition forces. According to a Sadr aide, the anti-American cleric wants to reorganize the Mahdi army and rehabilitate it after breaking into factions. Coalition forces killed more than 100 Afghani militants today following an attack on a coalition envoy in Kandahar. One Afghan soldier was killed and 6 others wounded. There were no reports of civilian casualties. Also in Afghanistan, a suicide bomber attacked a bridge under construction in an eastern province, killing 3 U.S. soldiers. 6 other American troops were wounded. President Bush is in the Gulf Coast region today, marking the 2-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The president visited a charter school in New Orleans, where he said better days are ahead. He will also visit Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, while in the region. The former Prime Minister of Pakistan said that Pervez Musharraf will step down as head of the military before the next presidential election. Officials say the decision is a significant step forward in a power-sharing deal with Pakistan's opposition government. Greek firefighters announced today that they have gained control over wildfires that have killed 63 people in recent days. The government has been hit with accusations of incompetence for their handling of the situation. After detaining them in a central Baghdad hotel last night, U.S. troops this morning released 8 captive Iranians, turning them over to Iraqi authorities. The U.S. said they were arrested for carrying guns without the necessary permits. The Washington Post reports President Bush is poised to ask Congress for another $50 billion to fund the Iraq War. Congress has thus far allocated $607 billion for the 2008 Pentagon budget. An internal Army investigation faults trainers at Fort Hood, Texas, for the June death of an Iraq War veteran during maneuvering.